Welcome back, Bud Light Port Paradise.
Here we go.
Bud Light Port Paradise, with two cruise ships, 4,000 shipments, and one private island concert. Find out how to get on board at facebook.com/Bud Light. Here we go.
And that was just the first night.
Rita was sentenced to 431 years in prison. Bring in the fans and turn up that AC. 15 states are under heat advisories with temperatures expected to break 105 degrees. Brandon and Kayla Clark say it's uncomfortably warm in their Wichita, Kansas home.
I'm sweating inside the house, making the sofa all wet. You can just feel it.
I've been wiping myself down with a cold water, wet rag and everything.
Temperatures reached 110 degrees yesterday in Wichita, and power was out for nearly 1,000 residents. Late-night debt ceiling talks at the White House end with no agreement. Congressional leaders will head back for more negotiations later today. Also today, President Obama will hold a news conference on the issue. Just 23 days to go before the U.S. defaults on its debt. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Mike Rowe here with Jim Twitchell, Senior Master Technician for Ford. Jim, a lot of people hear about the works and they figure it's an oil change.
No, Mike, it's not just an oil change. It'll cover everything that your car needs for a scheduled maintenance service.
Get the Works Fuel Saver Package for $29.95 or less with $10 rebate, only at your Ford dealer.
What doesn't it include?
That list is probably very short.
Glove compartment, you check that?
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 8/31/11.
E-discovery laws and government regulations require that certain businesses save electronic communication, namely emails, or face potential fines. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection, with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. The Barracuda Message Archiver indexes and preserves all email communication while enforcing policies for regulatory compliance. Save email, avoid penalties. Visit Barracuda.com/archiver to try the Barracuda Message Archiver free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/archiver.
Trucking companies want to make money, so their employees have to make time. That means long stretches on the road at fast speeds. But there's a paradigm shift underway. USA Today reports several big trucking companies have tweaked the computerized speed controllers on their big rigs, dropping top speeds down to 65 miles per hour. They also are handing out extra cash for drivers who not make the best time but burn the least fuel. This is diesel fuel prices hover at $4 a gallon. Alcoa's time in the sun happens after Wall Street's closing bell today. The company is almost always the first to report earnings from the previous quarter. That is the case this time. This week, Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, Google, and KFC parent Yum Brands also report second quarter results. Stock markets around the world are falling. Japan's Nikkei down 0.75%. Europe's markets off by as much as 1%. S&P futures losing 13. NASDAQ futures off 23. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Time now for the final round. Mike has blue eyes. Jim has brown eyes. What does Joe have?
Bronchitis?
Correct.
Yes.
If X marks the spot,
Y folds the laundry.
Correct.
Woo!
How many TV episodes does Netflix let you watch instantly for only $8 a month?
As many as you want.
Correct. Watch unlimited episodes of your favorite TV shows and movies instantly through your game console or other devices. All for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Class, this is Small Business Insurance 101. I am Professor Burke. Roll footage, please. This is Pat's Wings, home to the famous incinerator sauce. Lots can go wrong at small restaurants like Pat's. Slippery floors, fires, cutlery juggling incidents. With our coverage, when the unexpected happens, Pat barely breaks a sweat. Unlike those eating his fiery wings.
Sit down with a farmer's insurance agent to see how you can protect your small business. Find your local agent at farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-da, bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not available in all areas.
We're fashion retailers.
Wine wholesalers.
A surgical implant company.
We are mid-sized businesses.
We're working with IBM and their business partners.
To fuel innovation and a new economy.
And to wield the influence that once belonged to only the largest enterprises.
Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
Let's build a smarter planet.
See how IBM and our business partners are helping to build the engines of a smarter planet at IBM.com/engines.
Hi, folks. This is me, Dennis Miller. I'm proud to share that workplace productivity is plummeting thanks to a popular new trivia game called A Google a Day. Here's your chance to get started with a sneak peek at today's question. Fans of these crunchy preserved cucumbers included Cleopatra, Aristotle, Charlemagne, and the European who brought them to the New World. Who was he? Think you know how to find the answer? Start playing at agoogleaday.com.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Strong thunderstorms, damaging winds with some... President of the United States, Barack Obama, is destroying the United States. Detroit, Michigan, embraced progressive policies and corrupt government and unions.
Essentially, the far left wants every captured terrorist to have the same rights all Americans.
According to Tony Tribbiano, what the governor failed to reveal was the number of lost jobs from that one policy shift alone cost the state of Michigan over 10,000 jobs in the first quarter of this year.
Doing the right thing requires a dedication and commitment to looking beyond the headlines. It requires a level of excellence and unparalleled effort. It requires you to punch in. It requires First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
And welcome, everybody. This is First Shift. I am Tony Tribbiano, and a happy Monday to one and all. And you got to wonder what happens when you wake up in the morning and it's already 80 degrees out. Sweet Jesus, it is a scorcher already. You know, a little uncomfortable. Humidity's up there. It's summer. There's no question we're getting summer. And I want to go back a year. You know, we had an awesome summer last summer. I mean, it was truly hot. And then we've had a brutal winter. Last winter, by the way, the third highest snow total on record. And we didn't have much of a spring, and here we are in broiled being the key word there, in some pretty nasty weather. Man, could we use some rain? I know my lawn is just absolutely begging for water, and although I've been using this old sprinkler, it's just not enough. It is not enough. I guess there's a chance of rain today, but they say that every day, and it never seems to happen. And good Monday morning to everybody. Hope you all had a great weekend. I had a busy weekend. A busy weekend, and Jeff and Todd, of course, you have some evidence of that weekend sitting in the studio with you, and that, of course, is a blueberry pie from a listener, Barbie, from Oxford. I was up in Lapeer. Barbie was actually the one, Jeff, that invited me to Lapeer to speak on Saturday, and was happy to do it. And you guys haven't cut the pie yet. Will it happen?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Handmade pies. I mean, we love anything like this.
Yeah. Yeah, she gave me a pie for you guys, a pie for home, a pie, some cookies, and some chocolates.
Wow.
She called it a taste of Oxford.
When do I get to speak in Lapeer?
Anytime you want.
Do I get pies and candies and cakes and everything else?
Probably not.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. You know, it's saved for the good guys. I'm not sure you're a good guy yet.
Well, I got a pie, though, so I must be halfway decent. Or is it just off the reputation of you?
Well, there are some coattails to the show, so you're certainly enjoying some of the benefits of knowing Tony Tribbiano.
Hey, speaking of it being so hot, today is July 11th.
7-Eleven.
Yep, 7-Eleven. The store is giving away free Slurpees today, so I can imagine with it being so hot that the free Slurpees are going to go fast and furious today.
All right. Wow, they're really giving away free Slurpees today? Yep. Nationwide?
7-Eleven, they're giving away 7.11-ounce Slurpees. So they're small Slurpees, but still, they're free. So
how many? That would be basically like the cup of water I have here.
Right.
Which is not very large, but I wonder if, you know, you have to, like, if you can, like, drink it and just keep going back in.
Yeah, I don't think there's free refills on 7-Eleven. I mean, you might get another one, though. I mean, that's probably what they're hoping, is that they give away a free one, and then you get the taste, and you're like, I need another one.
And then you go to the next 7-Eleven down the street and get your free one there. And after about four 7-Elevens, you've now had a big gulp worth of Slurpees.
And you've wasted enough gas to pay for the Slurpee.
Well, you know, listen, people are not always smart in that regard, but it is a scorcher, man. It is already warm out today. Thank God for air conditioning. For those of you that don't have air conditioning, my prayers are with you. Yesterday was oppressive, and as Todd and I were talking, Jeff, before the game, or before the game, before the show, the Tigers game yesterday in Kansas City, the heat index on the field was 113 degrees.
That's insane. And it got even hotter when Verlander started dealing. So
absolutely. In fact, in the eighth inning, he's throwing 100 miles an hour.
Blazing heat.
Ah, man, oh, man. And, of course, we might as well go there. He won. By the way, I saw Bruce Felk at the Liz Winstead show on Saturday, and he told me he doesn't listen to the first 20 minutes of the show because we talk baseball.
Oh, he's not a big baseball guy.
So I think we're going to save this to the second segment and then really mess with him.
Right now, we'll talk about stuff that he would care about.
Right, and then when he gets on, we'll say, if you weren't listening in the last segment, this is what we talked about since we already discussed that. Let's talk a little baseball. Anyway, the Tigers did win yesterday, won three out of four from Kansas City, go into the All-Star break in first place. Justin Verlander wins his 12th game. Great background piece in the Detroit Free Press yesterday on Justin Verlander. 2.5 pages full of JV info. It was really very interesting.
Did you learn stuff that you didn't know about him?
Well, the only thing I really learned that I didn't know about him is that he lives in Troy. I didn't know that he lived in Troy. And not that this surprises me, but he owns lots of really expensive cars.
Yeah, I think I've heard that before. He's got a... I don't even know what kind of car
he has. A Maserati. He has an Austin Healey. I believe he has a Rolls Royce, a Mercedes Benz. So with that $80 million contract, obviously he can afford a few cars. I'm kind of curious. He's had the same girlfriend since high school. Want to know why they're not married yet?
I don't know.
Very pretty lady.
Oh, I would suspect so. I mean, I've been down there.
Now, wait a minute. Why do you say that? Because he's got money?
Yeah.
But they've been their high school sweethearts. So she knew him long before she knew that he was going to be the $80 million
man.
There's
very pretty girls in every high school. So I'm sure he was a stud in walking around town. And everyone knew he was going to do something big. So, yeah, I'm sure he got caught in the eye of a lot of girls in high school.
All right. Well, you know, he's done well. There's no question he's done well. It was interesting because in this article, they were actually talking about the scout had to kind of convince Dombrowski that he should be the number two pick because apparently the video they had on him, according to the article, wasn't very complimentary. And Dombrowski looked at the scout and said, seriously, this is the dude you want me to take? And he goes, you know, listen, we need to work on a few of the mechanics, but this guy is going to be a star. He's going to be an all-star pitcher. And obviously he was right. Although he won't be pitching in the all-star game. He would have been the starter, I believe anyway, had he had not pitched yesterday. And it's kind of interesting, as we were talking about on Friday, because of the long break, he will actually pitch the next game, which I tried to Google that to figure out when the last time that happened, and I couldn't seem to find that statistic anywhere.
I would rather that happen, where he pitches the last game before the All-Star break, they win, and then he pitches the first game back, because as we know last year, after the All-Star break, they lost 4 in a row to Cleveland, and that kind of started the downward slide. At least you get off on the right foot, hopefully.
Well, yeah, we'll hope so. Anyway, it was, you know, again, not enough offense, though. We're just not producing, although Maglio came through yesterday. There was also an article in yesterday's Free Press about Brandon Inge and the problems he's having, hitting 186 this season. And since he has been back from his disabled list, he's 1-for-14, Jeff.
I don't know who rushed him back, but I mean, mononucleosis isn't something that you just take a week off and
well,
you're back.
Well, they asked him that, and he said, you know what, maybe that, you know, that makes sense for some people. He said, I feel great. He said, I feel absolutely great. I feel amazing. I'm rested. I feel great. So he is very frustrated with himself. He is very disgusted, and he said he's embarrassed by his statistics. He said when he looked up at the scoreboard during the game on Friday and saw that he was batting 186 with one home run and 17 RBIs this year, it embarrassed him, he said.
As long as they can keep winning, then as soon as they start losing, then everyone will point to the weakest link.
Not so fast. Jim Leland was asked this question yesterday, and he basically said that they are reassessing what's happening at third base. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to give up on him. And, you know, Dave Dombrowski was the first one to come to Brandon Nidge's defense. At the same time, they have to have some production out of their third baseman. They have to. And at this point, they're not getting any offensive production out of him at all. And it's pretty bad. I mean, it is pretty bad. And even Brandon Nidge has admitted that, you know, he would not blame them if they went in another direction. Now, of course, they've got to pay him $5.5 million this year and $5.5 million next year. And if they decide to let him go, they've got to pay him $6 million next year to buy him out of his contract. So it's not as simple as not playing them. I mean, you know, there's the financial consideration here as well.
That's relatively cheap. $6 million for, I mean, to buy. It's not like they're getting rid of Robertson or Guillen, who's $13 million this year. Guys like that, where it's, you know, where it's three times what he's getting paid.
Yeah, but $6 million to say goodbye to somebody?
If it helps the team.
But you said it's fairly cheap. I don't know that I can buy into that. Now you're starting to sound like a Republican.
I thought, no, wait a minute. Isn't out-of-control spending not a Republican's domain? Unless, I guess it depends if it's Jets and other stuff. Anyway.
Yeah, anyways. Yeah, that's right. Go ahead, deflect. See, you do this to me all the time. He does this to me when we're on the phone. When we're after the show's over, when we're talking, he always does this anyway, and then moves on to another topic. I've caught on to you, Radford. I've caught on to you.
Adrian Beltre, $16 million this year.
Okay,
compare that to Inge.
There's no comparison. I'm just saying that you can't just throw away $6 million. Is all I'm saying. You're saying, yeah, it's no big deal. It's only $6 million.
Oh, it's just they're so used to it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
throwing away money.
Unfortunately, with the Detroit Tigers, that's true. They are used to it. All right, a very quick break here. We'll get the rundown. We've got a busy show today. In fact, I won't be surprised if this show flies by today. So you'll want to stay engaged because we've got a lot going on. I'll let you know what we have to give away, and we don't have a lot. We've only got a couple books and a couple documentaries to give away. So if you want to get in on that, we'll let you know how to do that. 888-552-3595 is the toll-free number. We'll take the break here and be back on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update. Looks like we're in good shape along M10, northwestern near 696, down toward the Southfield Freeway. It becomes M10 The Lodge. It's in good shape toward the Davison, in toward 94, all the way into downtown. No problems there.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, there is a chance of showers today and a high near 93. Tonight, thunderstorms possible, a low of 74. Tomorrow, partly sunny and a high near 89. Right now, partly cloudy, 75 degrees at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Trupiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Want to save on gas this summer? Use your Discover card and get 5% cash back bonus when you fill up all summer long. Limitations apply. For more details and to sign up, visit discover.com. It pays to get more. It pays to discover.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
I love bagels.
Who doesn't? But finding a really good, genuine bagel used to be so hard.
Till now.
The Detroit Institute of Bagels is bringing true bagels back to Detroit. Head over to
www.savethebagels.com.
Then donate and try some bagels today. Traditional bagels such as poppy seed and plain. Small batch bagels like rosemary and dried cherry chocolate. They have it all at www.savethebagels.com.
The Detroit Institute of Bagels. The start of something locally delicious.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is Autumn Smith. What's going on? Give us an update.
He knew when he was taking office that as a public official, he was subject to recall. It really feels to me that Jace Bolger just feels that he's the exception to the rule. That's not true because my rights don't end because you're in office, Jace Bolger. You are still subject to recall, and you are facing recall. I mean, it's done. I've already got signatures.
First Shift with Tony on 1310 WDTW.
Wish there was a place to go for information from real parents who have been there? Real parents that give you helpful, unbiased information and judgment-free advice? Hi, I'm Stacey Bachman, and on the My Great Kid radio show, we bring you interviews with top parenting, education, money, health, and life experts, along with the best tips, techniques, and newest information to make your life less hectic, more productive, and more satisfying. If you've got a family, the My Great Kid radio show is for you.
The My Great Kid radio show.
Saturdays at 9 a.m. here on WDTW and on the web at mygreatkid.com.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. Again, we're open lines. If you care to join us, 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. tony@thetonyshow.org. Coming up today, we're going to have in studio State Representative Harvey Santana joining us at 7 o'clock. And he's been very busy during this quote-unquote hiatus of the legislature. To say that Harvey's been taking the summer off is laughable, and we'll get to that. Mark Brewer will join us. We're kind of readjusting our schedule this week as we've got David Hecker on with us a little later. But anyway, Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, will be with us at 7:30 instead of his normal 8 o'clock slot. And then at 8 o'clock, David Hecker, president of the Michigan American Federation of Teachers, will be joining us talk about a busy summer. Educators, anybody involved in education is really ratcheting up their work and their activism. I want to, you know, go back to last Friday and thank Doug Pratt, the public affairs director from the Michigan Education Association, for his time in talking about the recall efforts that they're involved in. David Eckert, not involved in the recall effort, but involved in some of the policy issues. And we'll find out from him what's happening in Washington, D.C., and how that will filter into our home districts as well. So we do have a very, very busy, busy show today. No question that's true. And then we've got some audio that we want to get to as well. I'm going to save this till a little bit later on in the show, but I posted to our First Shift Facebook page a video called The Battle for America. And you can actually find it online at thebattleforamerica.com. The guy who produced this, his name is Elric, and I actually had him on my show when I was doing Afternoon Drive here on 1310 a few years back. And he's updated a little bit, and I wanted to share it with you for those activists in the audience. I think you're going to find some real purpose in what this has to say. I think it's profound, but we're going to get to that a little bit later on in the show. But obviously, we have a battle going on the federal level with the debt ceiling. So let me just kind of lay this out for you a little bit, and then I'll get to the First Shift Facebook poll question of the day. As you know, the debt ceiling agreement expires on August 2nd. If there isn't either an increase in the debt ceiling by then, or a negotiated whatever, but by then, basically what would happen is the government would not be able to pay its bills. Now, here's where it gets a little murky. According to the Constitution, the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, the president needs to protect the financial assets of the United States and is empowered to do that in any way he sees fit. So the question as to whether or not we really even need a debt ceiling negotiation is in question. But with that said, there is a negotiation going on. Now, we learned during the show on Friday, and certainly is manifested throughout the day on Friday and through the weekend, that the president is offering up changes to Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, which is a big, fat no-no for most of us. And as we discussed on Friday, over 70%, of those polled said no, leave the entitlement programs alone. In fact, most of us said that we would be willing to pay more taxes in order to assure that the entitlement programs that we've been paying into for decades will be there when we need them. All right, with that said, there are a lot of very angry Democrats and progressives at President Obama. Very, very angry people. So the question, the Facebook, First Shift Facebook poll question of the day is a simple question. In light of recent actions of President Obama, do you believe he should face a primary opponent from within the Democratic Party? Now, I will tell you, early on in the show, I am quite surprised that the answer right now, I offered up three options. Yes, no, and depends on what happens this week. Of course, what depends on what happens this week is surrounding the negotiations that are going on. I'll tell you where I clearly stand on this, but depends on what happens this week is leading by a large margin. Now, we haven't had a lot of people vote on it yet, but it is clear that many, many people, and I think we'll see this before this poll closes later on today, I think we'll see them. And the majority of people are very concerned about the president's agenda right now. Now, I had somebody post to the Facebook page, the First Shift Facebook page, when I had originally posted some concern about this during the weekend. I had posted something, I believe, on Saturday from MoveOn.org asking people to sign a petition. One of my listeners, Ann, wrote, I actually think this is why he did it, to provoke us to get off our butts, or duffs, as she wrote, and scream so loud even the wingnuts can hear us. It's the equivalent to FDR's make me. I don't know, Ann, that I buy that. I don't know that the president is doing that to test us, you know, to see how loud we'll get, how outraged we'll get. If that's what he's doing, it's working. I'll give you that much. But I'm very, very concerned that this president's caving to the Republicans. Now, interestingly, the president, what he is offering would be to sunset the Bush tax cuts. And, of course, that would eliminate the tax cuts for the top 15% of earners in this country. It would also eliminate $4 trillion in U.S. debt. The Republicans are saying, get a load of this, that's too extreme. But why they're saying it's too extreme, because they don't want these tax cuts to end. Now, it is clear, and Jeff, I've got to tell you, the overriding theme of the rally in Lapeer on Saturday was the idea that the wealth in this country has been so horribly tilted to one side, and they're not spending that money. There is no trickle-down, that there's no reason for us, Bud, to believe that we will ever see any kind of equity or equality as it comes to wealth in this country. And I have to agree with that. I think that, you know, based on the information, the statistics that we've seen, and I'm pretty damn sure that, you know, as each and every month passes, we see that those with money continue to hoard that money, and we see what we talked about on Friday, which is a jobless recovery. Jeff, they're just not spending that money to create jobs.
No, and why would they right now? With the economy looking how it is, you're holding on to every dime you can. And if you're rich, you can sit on your money. If you're poor, you're wondering where the hell the money's at.
Yeah, but from a corporate standpoint, Jeff, you know, we see corporations, you know, having record profits right now. I shared that interesting statistic on Friday that 88, you know, the corporations are seeing an 88% improvement in their bottom line, but people that are working families are only seeing wage growth at 1.2%. There's something wrong with this picture. And we'll pick it up from there on the other side. If you care to join us, 888-552-3595. By the way, we've got 9 books left to give away and 4 documentaries on the Wisconsin worker uprising. That's it. And then we've got some other stuff coming, but it's not quite here yet. So if you want to get in on this, now's the time to do it. All right, we'll take the break. This is First Shift. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. A lot to get to. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back on this Monday program right here on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. We're doing pretty well on the east side. Drivers making their commute along 94 from 696 all the way down toward I-75. Traffic looks pretty good both directions. Picking up a little bit on that westbound side, but just not seeing any big delays so far.
Drive through McDonald's and grab a new French vanilla frappe. It's a refreshing, slow-sipping experience that's full of sweet, rich vanilla flavor from the first sip to the last, topped with whipped cream and caramel drizzle. Try a new French vanilla frappe today. Only available at McDonald's.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Possible thunderstorms today are high near 93. Tonight, a chance of storms, a low near 74. Tomorrow, partly sunny, are now high 89. Right now, it is partly cloudy at Metro Airport and 75 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. The world's largest copper producer is facing a 24-hour strike today. The Chilean workers at Codelco walked off the job in opposition to a plan that would see the state-owned mining company privatized. Some of the changes that are set for the company include cutting the jobs of 2,600 workers. The strike is occurring on the 40th anniversary of Chile passing laws that saw the nationalization of mines. Bus drivers in Washington, D.C. have suffered a wave of assaults in recent weeks, which have revealed underlying workplace safety issues in the transit system. In response to 3 violent incidents in late June, the union that represents most of Metro's 11,000 employees is demanding the Transit Authority take steps to protect bus drivers. In a new campaign, the Amalgamated Transit Union Local 689 is trying to get the general public on their side. Alice Olstein reports.
Friendship Heights Station.
Local 689 launched Operation Safety First after 3 D.C. bus drivers were recently attacked by passengers, and 2 had to be taken to local hospitals. Now, buses across the city are filled with thousands of postcards that passengers can sign and mail to the Transit Authority's general manager, demanding safer conditions on buses. Anthony Garland, the safety officer for Local 689, says the union has been pushing for years to have better protections for its bus drivers, from reliable working safety cameras to better trainings on how to de-escalate a conflict with a passenger.
In 2004, we had already gone to the authority and asked them to put more surveillance cameras on the buses, to put more transit cops out there on the buses. And it's been 7 years, and it's just everything's gone on deaf ears, and we just felt WMATA just had a disregard for the safety of the employees.
Just last week, WMATA started looking into installing the optional plexiglass shields the union requested for bus drivers and have stepped up transit police presence on the more dangerous routes.
We have heard loud and clear from our employees, who also happen to be union members, that there are concerns around safety as they're operating buses.
That's Dan Stessel, the chief spokesperson for WMATA. He says despite the union's doubts, the Transit Authority is firmly committed to workplace safety.
These are things that we hope will become constructive, ongoing efforts in the interest of ensuring that our bus operators are able to do their job safely.
Garland, a D.C. bus driver himself for over 20 years, is cautiously optimistic about the promised improvements. He added that Operation Safety First is also about building a strong coalition with the public, since bus driver safety and bus rider safety are one and the same. For Workers Independent News, I'm Alice Olstein.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News.
For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Trupiano. And first shift, first shift, first shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back, 35 minutes after the hour, 888-552-3595, Tony at thetonyshow.org. Warren Buffett, yes, he, the very wealthy Warren Buffett, very pragmatic guy. Often I have a tendency to agree with much of what he says, and certainly I'll be the first to admit that he's a whole lot smarter about issues of money and the economy than I will ever pretend to be. You know, again, I know what I know, and I know what I don't know, and I certainly don't know what Warren Buffett knows, that's for sure. Gave an interview over the weekend talking about the debt ceiling limit and a lot of other issues dealing with the economy, and we're going to get to some of his comments in just a moment. But before we do that, we are going to go to the phones, so let us do that right now and welcome David in Farmington Hills. David, welcome to First Shift. Thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind today?
Well, the same subject you were talking about, excuse me, that, you know, I think it's a case where the president has to swallow a bit of a bill of practicality. The leader of the House is not John Boehner, it's Eric Cantor. I think that became obviously apparently clear this weekend that Cantor has more control in the House than John Boehner does. And there's serious power struggle there. And
you know, David, very quickly, House, hold on, David. Do you know, happen to know if Eric Cantor's the majority whip? Do you know if he's the whip?
Yeah, he's second in charge of the Republicans.
All right,
yeah.
So he is the whip. Okay, I just wasn't sure. Anyway, go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
You know what, he may not be the whip, but he certainly, you know, he has the Tea Party movement behind him, and I think he is the whip, though. Anyway, the Republicans in the House will allow the debt ceiling time frame to collapse. They will absolutely do that. They will have their end goal, a slash of entitlements, come hell or high water. And the thing of it is they know that their financial backers can ride that storm out. You know, so it's not going to hurt them politically.
You don't think it's going to hurt them with the voters, David?
It might hurt them with their voters, but it's not going to hurt them with their reelection monies and campaigns. I think, you know, realistically, the Republicans that it's going to hurt are Republicans that have closer demographics to a 50-50. You know, your House seats that are closely divided, those Republicans can get hurt. I think a lot of these far right-wing House seats, I don't think they're too terribly afraid. And you also have to keep in mind there's many, many, many states that those seats are going to get redistributed in their favor because of the census and all the redistricting that's going on this year.
Well, the gerrymandering is there's an epidemic of that, David, nationwide. And I want to thank you for your call. There's an epidemic of that nationwide. I don't know. You know, Jeff reminds me that Cantor is the majority leader. Kevin McCarthy is the majority whip. There is a power struggle going on there. I think that the Republicans were starting to see the fissure within the nationally within the Republican Party with regard to the regular Republicans, the conservative Republicans, and the Tea Party Republicans, because they are three very different groups, not unlike the Democrats, where we have, you know, the normal Democrats, we have the Blue Dog Dems, which are the conservative Dems, and then the progressive Democrats. And the Progressive Democratic Caucus, of course, is not nearly as powerful as I personally would like them to see to be. But certainly David makes some good points there. The Republicans, though, I think have a do have a larger burden to share in this than perhaps you were suggesting, David. Unfortunately, we're going to have to wait and see how this plays out. But if the president blinks on this one, I think that the progressive wing of the Democratic Party is going to be extremely upset with President Barack Obama, and they're already talking about a Howard Dean challenge or a Russ Feingold challenge or a Bernie Sanders challenge. Now, none of those, and Jeff was shared a story with me yesterday, none of those challenges would, I think, defeat President Obama, and some would suggest it would even make him stronger going into the general election. I'm not quite convinced yet that he gets a primary challenger, but this week is critical to that happening. Anyway, Warren Buffett spoke and I lost it, Jeff, so tell me, it came off my screen. I know it was on CNBC. It was with, who was the... Becky Quick on CNBC, and we'll just start with the first quote. Just go ahead and start with the first one, with Warren Buffett.
We don't know exactly what will happen. I mean, but if you gave me a six-shooter and stuck a gun and a bullet in one chamber and said, spin it, and five times out of six, nothing bad's going to happen, but we really haven't done this before, so we're not sure which is going to happen if the sixth one's pulled. It's just silly to do. And we raised the debt ceiling seven times during the Bush administration, and now in this administration, they're using it as a hostage, and you really don't have any business by playing Russian roulette to get your way in some other manner. We should be more grown up than that.
And there's no question, and I agree with Warren Buffett there. He goes on to say that we've handled this better in the past. Now, before we get to that soundbite, I want to remind you what he just said. During the Bush administration, we raised the debt ceiling seven times. So why they're using this now as a political pawn is kind of interesting, and unfortunately it only hurts us. But let's go on to this next soundbite.
Under conditions like this is another question. I mean, when you have somebody with a gun to your head, do you really come out with the most properly reasoned solution to something? And we had debt at 120% of GDP, far higher than this, and after World War II, and no one went around threatening we were going to ruin the credit of the United States or something in order to get a better balance of debt to GDP. We just went about our business, and people did it in a cooperative way, but they didn't do it by sticking guns at each other's heads.
Well, and that's because what's happening right now politically is these two political parties have so infinitely defined themselves that you are either one or the other. You either for or against. You know, this idea that there's even a negotiation going on, I think there's a discussion going on, but I don't know that I would call it a negotiation per se. When you've got one side and the president of the United States saying this is the way it's going to be done, and the other side, which is the Republicans led by John Boehner as the Speaker of the House, saying, you know, absolutely not going to happen this way. Where's the negotiation there? Go ahead with the next soundbite.
Nobody knows. I mean, the odds are very good that people would assume we get things straightened out within a few days and that nothing dramatic would happen. On the other hand, you're playing with fire when you don't need to play with fire. And we don't need to tell the rest of the world that any time people in Congress start throwing a tantrum, that we're not going to pay our bills. We're going to pay our bills in the end. Now, you've got two ways of paying your bills. You can pay your bills on time and not make a big fuss of it, and you'll have the world regard you one way, and you can pay your bills only at the threat of a gun, and the world is going to regard you differently. So it is not a great pattern to project to the rest of the world.
Now, Warren Buffett goes on to say that there actually is a way to solve this quickly. Go ahead, Jeff.
I can end the deficit in 5 minutes.
How?
You just pass a law that says that anytime there's a deficit of more than 3% of GDP, all sitting members of Congress are ineligible for re-election. Now you've got the incentives in the right place, right? So it's capable of being done. And they're trying to use the incentive now that we're going to blow your brains out, America, you know, in terms of your debt worthiness over time. And that's being used as a threat. A more effective threat would be just to say, if you guys can't get it done, we'll get some other guys to get it done.
There you go. And then very quickly to the question of Social Security.
I think if you have it, if you're the Secretary of the Treasury and you have a choice the day after August 2nd of shorting somebody $4 billion each day And one of the choices is to not send out Social Security checks and the other checks. The other choice is not make a big payment to the Federal Reserve, which owns a whole bunch of bonds. I think the checks will go to the Social Security people. That's who I would send it to.
Why?
Well, because I would just figure that those people are more vulnerable than if the Federal Reserve, which owns $2.5 trillion of federal obligations now, does not get a check tomorrow, they can handle it. They should print more money. But if people all over the country that spend their Social Security checks sometimes, you know, within hours of when they get it, they're living hand to mouth, don't get it. I there's no question in my mind who I send the checks to.
And there you go, Warren Buffett on CNBC with Becky Quick. Now, listen, what he basically was saying, if you were listening to this, is that they politicized this in a way that didn't need to be politicized, and that, you know, really there are options beyond just what we are being told, which, of course, I know, and I think at some level intuitively you know that as well. But because they've made this whole debt ceiling issue the quote-unquote political football, well, now we're playing keep away, right? Monkey in the middle. Who's the monkey in the middle? We are. We are the monkey in the middle, and they're doing a masterful job of keeping the ball away from us. That doesn't mean that we don't have a say in this. We do. But like most things that I sit here and rail about on a daily basis, folks, we're just not a loud enough, strong enough, big enough voice right now. And, you know, going back, I'll do it again. Here we go to Bruce Levine's book, Get Up, Stand Up. Until you commit, until you truly commit to change, and it can't be just one issue. That's a start. But until you commit to real change, this will continue to happen. It'll be interesting to see how this week plays out. When we come back, the battle for America. Maybe I can make you feel just a little bit better. I know I can make you feel a whole lot less alone. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll take a break here on First Shift and be back right after this.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Middle-class workers like you shouldn't be bearing all the burden. You work too hard for someone to ask you to pay more so that somebody who's making millions or billions of dollars can pay less.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Want to save on gas this summer? Use your Discover card and get 5% cash back bonus when you fill up all summer long. Limitations apply. For more details and to sign up, visit discover.com. It pays to get more. It pays to discover.
Recently on First Shift.
Bruce Levine, thanks so much for joining us. Let's talk a little bit about powerlessness.
One of the things I think that people who've never participated out there, they sort of see the landscape, they see how much power the government has and these corporations have and feel like the whole thing is a scam and it's crooked, and you move into kind of a not only a helplessness and hopelessness but a cynicism. But I think if you get in the battle, even if you don't win an immediate victory, what happens is you do get rewards right away. You do get comrades. You do get solidarity.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, I'm David Ricklick, president of Investment Solutions, and I welcome you to Your Money Matters, a live and interactive radio show every Sunday morning at 8:30 on 1310 WDTW. Are you worried your financial portfolio is not well diversified? Are you concerned your assets are not properly allocated given the uncertain economic conditions? It is these and other topics that Your Money Matters with Dave and Aaron will discuss. Tune in to learn more with Your Money Matters every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m.
So Dave and I are here to help and give the latest trends and discuss the economic situation that affects you.
See how our family can help your family and listen every Sunday morning at 8:30 live on 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk Station.
The information presented is designed to provide general information on the subjects covered. Please note that Investment Solutions and their representatives do not give legal or tax advice. Securities offered through Questar Capital Corporation, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment Solutions is independent of QCC.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
You know, if you stop and think about all the things that ail us, we're going to take today at the statewide level, you know, talk about education a great deal. You know, we're going to talk about feral swine and why that's an unnecessary conversation. You know, we're going to talk about, you know, with Harvey Santana, the E-Verify system that is just racist. And, you know, there's so many problems that ail us. So politics, of course, you know, is in of itself its own game with its own set of rules that continue to change. Very quickly, before we get to the Battle of America, the White House Chief of Staff, Bill Daley, said some politicians are, of course, more concerned with politics than what's really happening. And we're going to get to that soundbite in just a second here. But if you stop and think about the you know, we send people to the state capital or to the nation's capital to literally represent us. What does that mean to you? What does that really mean to you? When you send them off, once they're elected, let's say your guy got elected, what does that mean to you? Now that they represent you, is your job over the day you vote and your guy or gal gets elected? Is it over then? That's my question to you. I'd really like to know the answer to that. 888-552-3595. Go ahead, Jeff. Bill Daley.
Social Security is not about the deficit. We've got to strengthen Social Security. Medicare has got to be strengthened. It will run out of money in 5 years if we don't do something. Obviously, there has to be improvements to it. There has to be, at the same time, a balanced package. It's not just about Medicare cuts that some people want to see. We've had a contract with the American people for the last 80 years about Medicare. People pay into that. They expect certain benefits. They don't want to see that trash. It is a difficult time for many Americans. This town seems to get stuck on the politics. You go out in America today, people are concerned. They want certainty. And this president is fighting for them and not for the usual game in this town.
And that's the question. Is this president fighting for us and not the usual game? You know, part of me wants to say, yeah, he absolutely is. And at some level, he absolutely is. But at other levels, I understand that he has to fight that good fight. Now, you know, we're not exactly into campaign mode quite yet, but we're working in that direction. And when it becomes a campaign, the dialogue then changes drastically. And then we wonder if anything will get accomplished. And unfortunately, in this, you know, you talk about that first 100 days of a presidency, that's when the heavy lifting gets done. That's when the majority of the work gets done. And before you know it, then you're in reelection mode. Well, we're there. I mean, we're at that doorstep now. Of course, we have seven people running for the presidency on the GOP side. They're all monkeys as far as I'm concerned. Not a serious one amongst them. And then we're a little disgruntled with our president. He can turn this around very quickly. In fact, he can do it this week to satisfy me. I'll make it selfish and personal. To satisfy me, he's going to say, you know what? I don't need to cut a deal. I was willing to do it, but I don't need to do it. So I'm just going to raise the debt ceiling on my own because the 14th Amendment allows me to do that, and we'll move on. But this is ultimately about the Battle for America. If you go to thebattleforamerica.com and you hit the play button, this is what you're going to hear.
Hello, friends, family, comrades, rebels, insurgents, refugees, exiles, expatriates, people in hiding, and all the ships at sea. I debated whether or not I should say this. I wondered if it would do any good. I have profound fears for the future, deep anger and sadness for my country.
Our country. Our country that's been stolen away from us. Captured by those who traffic in fear and hatred and bigotry and poison.
I feel like we're lost in the forest right now. We're down the rabbit hole.
And there's no end in sight.
I know you all feel the same sentiments.
The rage against the unanswerable abyss,
the terror of what lies ahead,
the confusion of what this nation has become.
I will not attempt to glide over the monumental disaster that was this election.
There's no silver lining.
There's no redemption. The illusion of hope in this last year
has been mercilessly stripped away.
The monster we face is now unleashed
and free to wreak havoc and spill the blood of innocence.
We are in a dark place.
Perhaps the darkest place.
Unable to even conceive of the idea of light.
But we have been in such midnight moments before.
We have been in the pits of Vietnam.
And the hanging trees of Jim Crow.
We have despaired on the cotton fields of Mississippi.
And the breadlines of the Depression.
We've been beaten down by crooked cops.
Pushed around by factory bosses.
Terrorized by the Klan.
And the fascists.
And the Nazis.
And know-nothing.
And the fat cats.
And robber barons.
And the corrupt politicians
and wicked masters.
But we have never surrendered.
We have never weakened or wavered.
Did we surrender at Kent State?
Jackson State?
No.
Did we surrender at Selma, Alabama?
No.
Did we surrender at Haymarket?
No.
On the lettuce fields of California?
In the textile mills of Massachusetts?
In the coal mines of Colorado?
In the meatpacking plants of Chicago?
At the Stonewall Rides?
At the pro-choice rallies?
At the equal rights for women marches?
At the anti-war demonstrations?
At the strike? And the walkouts
and the bus boycotts.
No.
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 Remember, we have history on our side.
We have the march of progress.
The struggle for what is right
and good
and pure
and free
and equal
and just
and beautiful.
We have the raised fist
of every fighter.
We have the right to yell of anyone who's been wronged by the system
anywhere, at any time.
We have the power of the powerless.
We have the moral clarity of the dispossessed.
We are the heart, the soul of the struggle, the battle that never ends.
Look to our heroes.
We are the inheritors of a proud past
populated by giants,
heroes,
artists,
revolutionaries,
thinkers, believers in mankind,
defenders of the oppressed.
We have the pen of Walt Whitman
and Hemingway,
the determination of Cesar Chavez,
Margaret Sanger and Sojourner Truth,
the faith of Martin and Malcolm,
the beauty of Billie Holiday and Duke Ellington,
the strength of Roosevelt and Kennedy,
the joy of Mark Twain.
The history of America
has been written by us.
It does not belong to demagogues,
the fearmongers,
the war profiteers,
the rich, the greedy,
theocrats,
and the mullahs.
They twist the Constitution,
but we make it straight.
They wrap themselves in the flag,
but we fight for the freedoms,
not the fabric.
They shout out their pledges of allegiance,
but we do the dirty work of democracy.
They claim to represent the real America,
but we are the keepers of the Tree of Liberty.
It ain't over yet, folks.
Not by a long shot.
So cry a few tears.
Bang against the walls.
Scream into the wind. Then collect yourself.
And get back to work.
It's time to punch the clock. The battle for America has begun.
And there you go. The battle for America has begun. Again, if you go to thebattleforamerica.com, and I've got it posted on the Facebook page, the First Shift Facebook page, so feel free to go there. I'd love for you to share this with some folks. Because I really believe that there's a great message in there for those of us that are working and toiling hard at trying to turn this around. And whether it's in Lapeer on Saturday or in Ecorse, whether it was in Lansing or in Benton Harbor, whether you're Autumn Smith fighting to eliminate Jace Bulger, or you're just a grandma that can't pay her bills, the battle for America has just begun. And we all have a say and how that battle moves forward. We will take a quick break here for the top of the hour. State Representative Harvey Santana on the other side of this. Diane Cross, of course, with traffic and weather, CNN with headline news. I'm Tony Trupiano on First Shift. We'll be back.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update still moving along pretty well, even along Telegraph, despite our construction between 12 Mile and Maple, more on the northbound side. Traffic is picking up, but we're not yet seeing the real slowdowns that we can get through this area before too long.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, there is a chance of showers today and a high near 93. Tonight, thunderstorms possible, a low of 74. Tomorrow, partly sunny and a high near 89. Right now, partly cloudy, 75 degrees at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Identify yourself, please.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Cheryl Castro. The U.S. is putting the pressure on Pakistan to crack down on militants. President Obama's chief of staff says the U.S. is holding back $800 million in military aid to Pakistan. CNN's Reza Sayah has the response from Islamabad.
One of the perennial demands for Washington has been respect, and I think already many here in Pakistan are viewing this move by Washington as disrespectful, as Washington not appreciating the sacrifices and the work Pakistan is doing, and really underscores a very troubled and uncertain relationship.
Still no debt talk deal. Negotiations continue today between the White House and congressional leaders aimed at preventing the country from defaulting on its debt. Also this morning, we'll get an update from President Obama. To say it's hot in the Midwest is an understatement. 15 states are under heat advisories. Temperatures are expected to top 105 degrees. It hit 110 degrees yesterday in Wichita, Kansas. Brandon and Kayla Clark even lost their power, so no AC.
I'm sweating inside the house, making the sofa all wet. You can just feel it.
I've been wiping myself down with the cold water, wet rag and everything.
Forecasters expect the heat to last through at least tomorrow. J.C. Dugard breaks her silence. The 31-year-old woman who spent 18 years in captivity and gave birth to two children from her kidnapper tells ABC's Diane Sawyer she doesn't see the face of her captor in her kids.
Surprisingly, I don't see it in them. I see my mom. I see me.
Dugard has a new book called A Stolen Life, which comes out tomorrow. Funeral services will be held this morning for a Texas firefighter who fell to his death at a Rangers baseball game while trying to catch a ball. 39-year-old Shannon Stone will be buried in his hometown of Brownwood. This is CNN Radio.
Mike Rowe here with Jim Twitchell. Jim, you're a... What are you?
I'm a senior master technician, Mike.
Can the Works Fuel Saver package save me money on gas, yes or no?
Yes, it does. By making sure that your car is in optimal running condition, you save yourself fuel.
Save money on gas with the Works Fuel Saver package. Just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
Can you think of one good reason why somebody wouldn't bring their Ford to you right now for the Works Fuel Saver package?
Honestly, Mike, no.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer for rebate details through 8/31/11. Claim based on EPA averages.
Hi, homeowners. It's Dave with LendingTree again. Have you heard that mortgage rates are dropping? It's true. You can get rates as low as 2.625%, 3.1% APR at LendingTree.com. In fact, homeowners who refinance with LendingTree save an average of $301 a month. That's over $3,600 a year. Hey, in the time it's taken me to tell you all this, you could have called LendingTree. Don't wait for rates to climb. Call 1-800-555-TREE today. That's 1-800-555-TREE. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS 1136.
You know times are tough when people skimp even while shopping at the dollar store. Retail analysts tell the Wall Street Journal many Americans have developed so much of a bunker mentality they no longer are willing to buy any more than the most basic of basic items, even at the most heavily discounting of discount chains. Dollar General, Family Dollar, and Dollar Tree all have missed their most recent earnings targets. Earnings reports galore beginning today. After Wall Street's closing bell, Alcoa opens its second quarter books, beginning the flood of corporate profit and loss reports over the next several weeks. Slow down. Truckers are getting that order from their own companies. USA Today reports trucking companies are changing their computerized speed controllers to make rigs move more slowly, all this to burn less diesel fuel. European Union leaders meet today on what to do about a gathering debt storm in Italy, and Europe's markets are off by as much as 1%, S&P futures losing 13 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Time now for the final round. Mike has blue eyes, Jim has brown eyes. What does Joe have?
Bronchitis?
Correct.
Yes.
If X marks the spot,
Y folds the laundry.
Correct. What? How many TV episodes does Netflix let you watch instantly for only $8 a month?
As many as you want.
Correct. Watch unlimited episodes of your favorite TV shows and movies instantly through your game console or other devices. All for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Class, this is Small Business Insurance 101. I am Professor Burke. Roll footage, please. This is Pat's Wings, home to the famous incinerator sauce. Lots can go wrong at small restaurants like Pat's. Slippery floors, fires, cutlery juggling incidents. With our coverage, when the unexpected happens, Pat barely breaks a sweat. Unlike those eating his fiery wings.
Sit down with a farmer's insurance agent to see how you can protect your small business. Find your local agent at farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not available in all areas.
Mike Rowe here with Jim Switchell, Senior Master Technician for Ford. Jim, a lot of people hear about the works and they figure it's an oil change.
No, Mike, it's not just an oil change. It'll cover everything that your car needs for a scheduled maintenance service.
Get the Works Fuel Saver Package for $29.95 or less with $10 rebate, only at your Ford dealer.
What doesn't it include?
That list is probably very short.
Glove compartment, you check that.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 8/31/11.
E-discovery laws and government regulations require that certain businesses save electronic communication, namely emails, or face potential fines. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection, with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. The Barracuda Message Archiver indexes and preserves all email communication while enforcing policies for regulatory compliance. Save email, avoid penalties. Visit Barracuda.com/archiver to try the Barracuda Message Archiver free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/archiver.
Michigan Governor Rick Snyder is the poster child for the cliche, actions speak louder than words.
One thing I tell people is there's no magic bullet here. And there isn't just one or two things to do. This is a grinded out situation.
I think this is a challenge.
Y'all don't shut up. I'm going to go out of my mind.
Welcome to Detroit's only free speech zone. It's time to wake up to truth, reality, and a way forward. It's time for First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning, everybody. Tony Trupiano with you on this Monday morning program. And, you know, from this point forward in the show, it is nonstop. So I hope that you're comfortably situated wherever you're at. We've got a lot of information we're going to get to you over the next couple of hours. And we're going to start in just a moment. If you want to join us throughout any time of the show, 888-552-3595 is the toll-free number. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. That's tony@thetonyshow.org. I want to remind you, we have our poll question of the day today in light of what's been happening recently with President Obama. Do you believe he should face a primary opponent from the Democratic Party in the next election cycle? The question's out there, and most people are saying, depends on what happens this week. We spent a lot of time talking about that in the first hour. We'll get back to that later on. But if you would, Jeff, please cue the music. Well, joining me now is a guy that'll never back down, State Representative Harvey Santana. He is, of course, not on summer vacation like the majority of his colleagues in the state legislature. And Representative Santana, I want to welcome you back. You got to get those headphones. There you go. I want to welcome you back to First Shift. Unfortunately, a little shortened version. Last week we were off, so we put you to this week, and then I had all kinds of stuff going on. But I'll take 30 minutes of you than none of you any day of the week. And so welcome back to the show.
Tony, thank you, and thank you to 1310 for having me on. And good morning to everybody. I just drank my coffee, and I woke it up.
There you go. Well, I have a feeling you don't need coffee to get going on a daily basis, especially with what's going on in the state capitol. But before we get to some issues, I really want to talk about this idea of summer vacation. Listen, not every legislature is happy that the Republicans decided to take actually 9 weeks off. Now, in all fairness, there's some study sessions going on, and there's a couple committee meetings here and there. But for all intents and purposes, no legislation will move forward over the next 9 weeks. And at a time when there's so much going on, you, of course, are not just going to go home and just relax and enjoy. So what have you been up to?
Well, first of all, yeah, we got this 9-week vacation deal going on, but it's not really a vacation because a lot of time is spent catching up on the work that you couldn't finish in the first 6 months, and a lot of it now is planning for the future. I will say this. This is not a Democratic idea. We didn't have this. You know, we wanted to keep going, but there's a plus and a minus to it. I'm almost glad that we're not in Lansing because it gives the Republicans less time to do more damage. But for me, my day starts off every day at the same time, 5 o'clock. I'm here with you. When I'm done with this, I'm going to go do coffee hours for a couple hours, probably till 1 o'clock or no, 3:30. And then after that, we're going to go knock on doors. And then after that, I have a community meeting. So Monday through Friday, I'm out in the community knocking on doors, running between houses like I did during the campaign, handing out information, talking to people. Because what you find out, Tony, is a lot of people still don't have the resources or information they need to maneuver through life right now.
Well, let's talk about knocking on doors. It's kind of a unique idea to do that in a non-election year. This is a non-election year. You don't need to walk on doors. There's no question that's true. And so I'm just curious why you've decided to take that tactic.
Well, first of all, I think you do need to knock on doors because people need to see that their elected representative is working for them, number one. Number two, my objective from the very beginning of deciding to run for office was to elevate the title politician. And I tell people I'm a politician. I'm very proud of it. I got a smile from ear to ear because that means I work for the people. And so when I'm out there working for the people, running from house to house, knocking on doors, leaving notes at people's doors, hey, I came by, here's my number, give me a call if you need anything. You know, people want to know, hey, there's somebody out there that's looking out for us, and that guy is Harvey Santana.
Well, there's no question that's true. In fact, if you go on Facebook and you search for Harvey Santana, and he'd love to have you friend him, you had posted that you'd been out and about in the community, and just the outpouring of support for you on Facebook was just overwhelming. People thanking you for being out there, and it's just it's great to see that you're not sitting back. And I agree with you. You really don't know what's going on in the community until you actually get into the community and talk to the people that live there, Harvey. No question that's true.
And, Tony, let me tell you, there's a fair amount of frustration that comes with this job. And you need that frustration in many respects because when I'm running down a street and I'm knocking on doors and you knock on somebody's door and you ask them, you know, is there anything I can do for you? What concerns do you have? And they point across the street. And there's 7 abandoned houses, vacant, grass up to the doorway. You get frustrated. And, you know, a large part of me wants to just wave a magic wand and say, I want all this to go away, but I don't have the power to do that. But what I do is I take down all the information and I write letters to the mayor and to the city council, say, hey, you guys need to deal with this.
Well, and it's good that, again, you don't know that unless you're in the community. Let's go to some issues, because I know there are a couple that actually have you a little bit, let's just say, hot-tempered. One of them is feral swine. We've been bringing this up now for a couple weeks, and Chris Mihalakis, who is with us every Tuesday, did a little parody a couple weeks ago talking about, you know, how much time was spent on this issue. You're shaking your head. People can't see that. What's the big deal about feral swine?
Okay, let me kind of condense this. Basically, and if you watch Discovery Channel, if you watch any, you know, these documentaries, there are shows that are actually dedicated to wild pigs running around in various states throughout the United States. And they're tearing up the place. The farmers hate them. They're an invasive species. And in Michigan, we have 65 game hunting ranges. So if you're into, you know, shooting wild animals, you can pay a fee and you go and you hunt these things on these game ranges. Well, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But what has happened is that a lot of these wild pigs have been escaping. These are Russian boars. This isn't Porky Pig. These are things that have bones sticking out of their mouth. And so they escape and they start breeding. Now, here are the numbers. They start breeding at 4 months. They breed every 6 months. And they have a litter of up to 20. And so they multiply. And so the farming industry all hated it. Now, from the very beginning, there was a very, very impressive list of all the commodity groups, the soybean people, corn people, blueberry, raspberry, all of these people hated these things, and they wanted them gone. They wanted to have Jennifer Granholm's order state to get these things off the face of Michigan. What has happened? Here's the politics. There's a rock star in the state who owns one of these game ranches, and he wants these things regulated. And I says, well, why would he want these things regulated? Well, because there's money in this, and that rock star happens to be a constituent of the Speaker of the House. And so what ends up happening is all politics are local. This legislation keeps pushing. We spent, Tony, we spent, according to the chairman, 5 weeks, but it was a better part of 3 months. 3 months talking, listening to testimony, people coming into committee, giving you their side of the story. And from the very beginning, I had all of the Democrats locked up on this issue. We weren't budging. I mean, when you have an impressive list of people that say we are against these things, and you have one or two organizations that are for it, you know something's wrong. The balance of the scale was just absolutely tilted. So we fought, we fought. Finally, they used this rule that says if you can't come to an agreement in committee, the chairman can override it, put a motion to discharge it to the floor where they think they can find the votes. So what did they do? They pushed, they did that, they put it on the floor, and we ended up debating this thing on the floor.
Oh, sweet God.
And so here's the biggest problem that I have with this thing. All the agricultural interests aside, the fees that they think that they're going to collect doesn't add up to the amount of regulation that it's going to be required. So in other words, they take in $200,000, it's going to cost something like $300,000 to regulate these things, and that's if everybody participates. Now, we're subsidizing pig hunting for a handful of people, but we just cut $1 billion out of education? Is this the goofy type of government that the people wanted? What happened to fiscal conservatism? What happened to all of those punch wars that take place during an election?
All right, wait a minute. So the Ted Nugent and his buddies can go into one of these 65 farms, and basically it's like, you know, shooting fish in a barrel.
It's like shooting Asian carp in a barrel.
Okay. And we're subsidizing this with taxpayer dollars?
According to the House fiscal analysis that I read, absolutely. Okay. That's exactly what's going on.
All right. So we spend 3 months on an issue. We see what we're doing to education in this state. We see what we're doing to public sector employees in this state. We see what's happening with collective bargaining in this state. We see some of the legislation that's passed, including legislation that is forced. I think it's now up to 13 Republicans are being recalled, one Democrat, and the governor of the state of Michigan, and we've spent 3 months debating feral swine and what to do with them.
I think that's exactly it. I mean, think about that. I mean, we could have been debating about bringing processing into urban areas, but instead what we're doing is putting the agricultural industry at risk by making sure that a handful of people's interests are accommodated.
So at the time when we see businesses, Harvey Santana, leaving because incentives have gone away, we're debating feral swine. We've got to take the break. This is just crazy. We will be back. State Representative Harvey Santana is my guest. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. I am Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. Thanks for punching in. We'll take the break and be back on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes, unfortunately, problems on 696 westbound near Van Dyke, an earlier car fire. Trying to clear from the left lane, we have slow traffic from before Grossbeck, so you might want to avoid 696 west. As you come off of 94, you're going to run right into the delays. And again, it's the other side of Van Dyke where the actual problem is.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. There is a chance of thunderstorms throughout the day and our high near 93. Tonight, possible storms, a low near 74. Tomorrow, though, partly sunny and our high 89 degrees. Last check at Metro Airport, partly cloudy and 73 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Let's take another question.
Hi, Flo. I saved a ton of money with Progressive's discounts.
Great, but that's not really a question.
Oh, you're right. I saved a ton of money with Progressive's discounts?
Still not quite right, but you get the idea. Progressive makes it easy to save.
Right.
Discounts for safe driving, owning a home, and more. Now that's Progressive. Call or click today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Bagel Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
I love bagels.
Who doesn't? But finding a really good, genuine bagel used to be so hard.
Till now.
The Detroit Institute of Bagels is bringing true bagels back to Detroit. Head over to
www.savethebagels.com.
Then donate and try some bagels today. Traditional bagels such as poppy seed and plain, small batch bagels like rosemary and dried cherry chocolate, they have it all at www.savethebagels.com.
The Detroit Institute of Bagels, the start of something locally delicious.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Wish there was a place to go for information from real parents who have been there? Real parents that give you helpful, unbiased information and judgment-free advice? Hi, I'm Stacey Bachman, and on the My Great Kid radio show, we bring you interviews with top parenting, education, money, health, and life experts, along with the best tips, techniques, and newest information to make your life less hectic, more productive, and more satisfying. If you've got a family, the My Great Kid radio show is for you.
The My Great Kid radio show.
Saturdays at 9 a.m. here on WDTW and on the web at mygreatkid.com.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310. WDTW.
Welcome back. Tony Truppiano with you on this Monday morning. State Representative Harvey Santana is my guest. Again, feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. We're going to switch gears here for just a moment. We do want to wish you, Representative, a happy birthday.
Thank you. I'm 39 years old. God, where did those years go?
Well, they were obviously productive years, and I understand you had some good teachers along the way as well.
Yeah, you know, one or two here and there.
Yeah. All right, let's turn to another topic. And we talked about this on the show maybe, I don't know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago or so. The E-Verify process as it comes to illegals working in the Michigan workforce. And I know that you... You presented something to the state legislature that they perhaps didn't embrace in the way that we would hope that they would. What's this all about?
Well, Representative Dave Ageham, who represents district in the western side of the state, presented legislation that dealt with this program called E-Verify. E-Verify is a federal program. It's a database or a software. If you punch in a person's name and Social Security and whatnot, it'll come up whether or not this person is legally allowed to work in the United States. The problem is that the federal government has not, endorsed it, and that's why states don't adopt it. It's a voluntary thing, but he seems to believe that this is it. This is the thing that will stop, illegal immigration from taking place. So the day of the hearing, we went up to the committee. It was myself, Rashida Tlaib, and the gentleman's name who I forget. We went up there, and Rashida does her thing, and she talks about the American story, and then I get up there and I says, well, look, I'm not here to talk about race. I'm not here to talk about the struggling guy coming from another country. I'm here to tell you that, you know what, I agree with you. We have an immigration problem into this country. And I, for one, believe this. If you want to focus on E-Verify and if you want to focus on certain people, I say this. Why stop there? Why stop short? Because all this legislation does is talk about state contracts and day labor places. For that, if you really want to stop this and you want to put up a sign that says, you know, no illegal immigration, let's do this. Let's do every single business in the state of Michigan. Let's go from if you got a dollar store all the way to the flagship industries, Ford, GM, Chrysler. If you really want to go hard, you want to really be tough, you want to stand up like a patriot, I got an American flag. I'll stand up. I'll march. You can follow me. I'll lead the way. The Republicans backed off. They didn't want to deal with it. What happened? Did something fall off on your way to Lansing? I thought you guys were tough. I thought you guys were strong in this issue. They caved.
Well, I don't understand, Representative Santana. If they were looking to, you know, make it more difficult for illegal immigrants to take jobs that Michiganders need, right? Why would they stop short of a real bill, a real law that would actually do something?
I agree, and that's why I said, look, you really want to do something about this? Let's do this. $1,000 a day per person that you hire. And then what we'll do is we'll slap some more employer sanctions. We'll put 12 months of a felony conviction. You get 12 months in jail for the person that owns the company and hired them. You guys want to be tough? Let's be tough.
Oh, that would solve a problem, wouldn't it?
I'll tell you what, the world would be a dramatically different place tomorrow. But, you know, I think what this comes down to, Tony, is this is more ideology and more talking point than it is substance. Because the day of, the Farm Bureau decided they wanted to take their name off the legislation. Why? I wonder how many people from foreign countries come to work on farms in Michigan. I wonder how that economy's built.
Well, you know, it's clear that, in, you know, we often, of course, hear that, you know, illegals take the jobs that those that live here don't want. I've never quite embraced that that philosophy, but you know, it's hard work to pick cherries, and it's hard work to do. I mean, this is not easy work.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll challenge anybody. Let's go to any farm in Michigan right now. I got two months off. You name the place, you name the farm. Let's go. I want to see how many Hispanic people you got working in the farm versus white guys.
Hmm.
And how much they're getting paid. And what kind of working conditions they got. Let's go do some investigative research. Let's go actually do the job.
No one's gonna take you up on that one. Well, you know, I find it offensive as a taxpayer, as somebody that you know, expects my legislature to go to work for me. I take a look. In fact, I've got, you know, Jeff, my producer, signed up for the governor's little email thing, and here we've got he gave me this letter that he got from the governor this morning. Let me just, you know, read part of it and let you comment on it. He writes, 6 months ago, Michigan barely had enough money saved in its rainy day fund to run our state for approximately 30 minutes. Today, we are doing the responsible things by saving for the future and paying down our debt. Tough decisions had to be made, he writes, for the overall good of the state and for long-term strength of our economy, but I am proud we were able to limit cuts to K-12 school funding to less than 2%. And then he writes, in fact, 53% of our state resources in the budget go to education more than all other areas of the budget combined. I find that to be, well, I can't say it because the FCC bars me from talking like that on the radio, but the Representative Santana, I don't buy a word that he's written.
Well, you know what he left out on purpose? What happened to that $1.8 billion tax cut to corporations that he pushed off on working class people? You know, I got into this debate on Saturday with a libertarian at a friend's house. We sat there. He says, well, my business is suffering and I pay all these taxes. And I says, well, Governor Snyder just gave you guys a $1.8 billion tax cut. How many people did you hire? Well, I didn't hire anybody. Oh, you didn't hire anybody. Well, I saved two jobs. You saved two jobs, but you didn't hire anybody. You see, that's the kind of Republican Tea Party libertarian baloney that you guys get sold on. Stop watching those TV shows because all it does is pollute your mind. You don't get the facts right. That tax break was supposed to get you jobs. Did it get you any jobs? No. Did you hire anybody? No. And besides, the $10 that you pay this guy an hour doesn't sustain his life, so he's got to go flip two jobs to try to make ends meet. And he leaves that out. Because, you know, what's that old commercial? Where's the beef? Where's the jobs?
Well, you know, that is the question. And as we take a look at, you know, last month, nationally, we only created 18,000 jobs nationally.
But the Republican strategy for Michigan was cut all the taxes, $1.8 billion, we'll tax people's pensions, we'll cut services, and we'll shift it over here. And then that, you know, because government doesn't create jobs, everybody knows that. Businesses do. How many jobs have been created? Not one.
Well, you know, and let's be honest about it. I'm not going to create a job if I don't need to create a job. Now, the governor goes to the Small Business Administrative Convention a couple weeks ago in Lansing and tells these guys, for every job you create, I want you to stand on top of the mountain, be proud of that job that you created, and tell everybody that'll listen to you that you created a job. A job.
Yeah. A job that doesn't hold up to the quality of life standards and the current economic conditions that we have. A job that probably doesn't have, you know, any health benefits attached to it. A job that doesn't have any sustainability. But if you're, you know, at some fast food restaurant, that's not a real job. That's not gonna, you know, provide substance for somebody's family.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. Next month, we're back on our regular date. We've got the whole hour. You'll be here with us. In the meantime, I'd say enjoy your vacation, but there's no vacation to be had. So thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, 1310.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break here. Mark Brewer, the chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, on the other side. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Still seeing the big delays on the Ruther, westbound 696. Almost as soon as you come off of I-94, you're running into the big backed up traffic because of an earlier car fire out near Van Dyke, westbound 696. So you want to avoid that if at all possible. It is the only real problem, though, we're seeing on the roadways. Traffic is just starting to pick up for drivers coming in, 75 to 696. Also, M53, M59, we're seeing some heavier traffic through there.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. There is a chance of thunderstorms throughout the day and our high near 93. Tonight, possible storms, a low near 74. Tomorrow, though, partly sunny and our high 89 degrees. Last check at Metro Airport, partly cloudy and 73 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. The world's largest copper producer is facing a 24-hour strike today. The Chilean workers at Codelco walked off the job in opposition to a plan that would see the state-owned mining company privatized. Some of the changes that are set for the company include cutting the jobs of 2,600 workers. The strike is occurring on the 40th anniversary of Chile passing laws that saw the nationalization of mines. Bus drivers in Washington, D.C. have suffered a wave of assaults in recent weeks, which have revealed underlying workplace safety issues in the transit system. In response to three violent incidents in late June, the union that represents most of Metro's 11,000 employees is demanding the Transit Authority take steps to protect bus drivers. In a new campaign, the Amalgamated Transit Union Local 689 is trying to get the general public on their side. Alice Olstein reports.
Friendship Heights Station.
Local 689 launched Operation Safety First after three D.C. bus drivers were recently attacked by passengers, and two had to be taken to local hospitals. Now, buses across the city are filled with thousands of postcards that passengers can sign and mail to the Transit Authority's general manager, demanding safer conditions on buses. Anthony Garland, the safety officer for Local 689, says the union has been pushing for years to have better protections for its bus drivers, from reliable working safety cameras to better trainings on how to de-escalate a conflict with a passenger.
In 2004, we had already gone to the authority and asked them to put more surveillance cameras on the buses, to put more transit cops out there on the buses. And it's been 7 years, and it's just everything's gone on deaf ears, and we just felt WMATA just had a disregard for the safety of the employees.
Just last week, WMATA started looking into installing the optional plexiglass shields the union requested for bus drivers and have stepped up transit police presence on the more dangerous routes.
We have heard loud and clear from our employees, who also happen to be union members, that there are concerns around safety as they're operating buses.
That's Dan Stessel, the chief spokesperson for WMATA. He says despite the union's doubts, the Transit Authority is firmly committed to workplace safety.
These are things that we hope will become constructive, ongoing efforts in the interest of ensuring that our bus operators are able to do their job safely.
Garland, a D.C. bus driver himself for over 20 years, is cautiously optimistic about the promised improvements. He added that Operation Safety First is also about building a strong coalition with the public, since bus driver safety and bus rider safety are one and the same. For Workers Independent News, I'm Alice Olstein.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
And welcome back. Tony Trupiano with you. I want to thank State Representative Harvey Santana. Always great, always great. So very briefly, wanted to thank the great folks in Lapeer from No Citizen Left Behind for hosting me on Saturday afternoon. What a beautiful community that is. And I have to tell you that I had such a wonderful time out there. I really do want to thank Karen Hell, especially. She did a great job of organizing the event. And my good friend Barbie, who gave us some wonderful goodies to bring home. She called it a taste of Oxford. Now, they were all sweets. So, Jeff, it was really funny. You'll remember last week on the one of the days I said I was a food whore. Do you recall that?
I do.
Well, she whispers to me, I got you this stuff because I heard you say you were a food whore.
You got to whisper that and make sure no one else hears
that. Yeah,
doing.
So it was very nice. But the pies are delicious. You guys have a blueberry pie. Have you cut into it yet?
We've been pretty busy over here.
All right.
It's sitting here and we're salivating. But
okay, well, you got to at least get a piece in before the show's over. Anyway, the pies are from this place called Achatz 365. Achatz in Oxford. And they are on Facebook. Achatzpies.com. Achatzpies.com. And some really, really great stuff. So for those of you that want to give them a try, go ahead. So Jeff, I go to Lapeer on Saturday. As you know, it was an extremely hot day. Beautiful afternoon. The really cool farmers market in downtown Lapeer. Very, very nice stuff. Very nice stuff. And they actually started the rally by singing the song Solidarity Forever, which was kind of a cool way to start the festivities. And so it was kind of neat. Everybody, even those in poor voice like myself, you know, kind of chimed in. But they had, you know, 10, well, maybe 8 wonderful speakers. And it was just a really, really cool event. And I'm really glad that I went. It was, you know, a really an interesting thing. And then I went on Saturday night to the Lynn Winstead Show, which was the fundraiser for Planned Parenthood of Michigan. And they sold the joint out. I didn't know this till afterwards. They were hoping to have 150 people there. They had almost 400, which is pretty awesome. The show was very well done. I had a chance to meet Liz, she's a very funny woman, but very serious at the same time, very committed to what Planned Parenthood is all about. And so it was really a wonderful evening for all of those in attendance. Congressman Gary Peters was there, who talked about his support, which, you know, again, if you look at his track record, it's provable, but talked about his support of Planned Parenthood and women's reproductive rights issues. So it was a very cool evening. Actually, it was a very warm evening, but a very cool event. And just a great time. And even the protesters, the Free Press actually covered the event and wrote about the, you know, the anti-Planned Parenthood folks versus the pro-Planned Parenthood folks. According to this article that I read, there was one skirmish. It was all vocal. It was a verbal shouting match. But it was just very, you know, the one thing I found ridiculous, there was one man there that kept on, you know, insisting that Planned Parenthood was this racist organization, which is just the funniest thing in the world, because he obviously doesn't get what Planned Parenthood is all about. So it was really weird in that regard, but beyond that, it was all very, very interesting, and it was a wonderful evening, and I'm assuming Planned Parenthood did, you know, raised some significant monies, needed monies, no question about it. For 20% of all women at some point will use the services of Planned Parenthood in their lives. One out of five women, that's a big number. I mean, that's a very big number. And so it was really a wonderful event. And interestingly, one of the people that was there with me, and I had a chance to, you know, hoist a glass of wine with him and chat a little bit in a more social setting, although he was there with his media cap on as the editor of the Rochester Citizen, Bruce Felk. And Bruce is on the line with us right now. Bruce, welcome back to First Shift. And did you enjoy yourself Saturday night?
It was a great night. Liz did a great show. She was much funnier and obviously doing her routine than she was with me the day earlier when we did about a 20-minute interview that I wrote about, that I wrote up on the Rochester Citizen. But I wanted to ask you what you thought of she's writing a book.
Yes.
Your listeners should know. And she read a piece of her book that I thought was really powerful, that really told the story of Planned Parenthood, that she was 16 years old, she was pregnant, and the story of how she went to a counseling center, presumably a right, you know, a anti-choice counseling center, and then how she felt there and how she felt when she got to the Planned Parenthood facility. I thought that was the most powerful thing, and I'm actually trying to get her. The book isn't done yet, but I'm trying to get at least the video clip from her staff to see if I can't use that to base an article on.
Oh well, I will tell you, if you go to, and I want to get this right, and I'm not going to, her blog. They actually have a blog that they've set up. Maybe you have it, Bruce, for the tour.
I do
have it here. Hold on one second, because Desiree Cooper was nice enough to send me a link to it. But yeah, it was very powerful. I don't know about you, but I was pretty surprised by how large the crowd was. Not that I didn't expect it to be large. I didn't expect it to be as large as it was.
Well, it was a big crowd. I guess I wasn't really surprised. I was outside for quite a while. I don't know how much time you spent outside, but
afterwards.
Well, surprise. Go ahead.
You mean afterwards?
No. All during the show. I you know at least the protesters, the anti-choice people out there. They stayed out there the whole show. They were still out there when we left.
Oh yeah, that's for sure.
And the most interesting conversation I was watching was the same gentleman you were talking about was actually talking to Desiree Cooper's son, trying to convince him basically that his mother was a racist.
Yeah,
and he's African American. They're both African American, obviously. And I thought that was the most bizarre conversation I've ever listened in on, basically.
Yeah, that was pretty bizarre. By the way, that website for her tour is tour for two p's, tour for pp.wordpress.com. So tour for pp.wordpress.com.
Okay, and, I'm going there now.
And she actually did a video blog of her opening night, and I think that you'll find it interesting. She obviously had a great time. You know, Bruce, as she said before the show, Pontiac actually wasn't where she had originally planned on starting her tour, but was certainly very pleased with the response and reception that she got. And, you know, I don't know, I don't know about you, but I was really blown away by the energy in the room. I mean, the crowd really, I mean, I expected them to be supportive, but they really loved her. I mean, they really got into what she had to say. And it was just so nice to see so many and to feel that energy, so many like-minded people in one room at one time. You know, you do a radio show, you know, you don't really get to feel that energy. So, you know, to be in an environment like that, it was really kind of nice. I enjoyed myself a great deal.
No, it was a great show. You know, and I think, obviously her comedy also gives that crowd, you know, what it likes to hear. And you can see how she's the also, your listeners may know, she's also the co-creator of The Daily Show. And, at the end of the segment that she read about from her book, she talks about had she not been able to have access to an abortion at 16, she might not have been able to go on to create The Daily Show. And imagine what the world would be without The Daily Show.
Well, you know, that might not be one that people, that may not be a point that people necessarily resonate with, but she, the bigger point, Bruce, is really, and the most important point, is that as a woman, she had access to information and treatment that would not have been available in any other way. And, Bruce, I want to remind this audience, it was actually Richard Nixon, Republican Richard Nixon, that originally supported the concept of Planned Parenthood and made sure that they were properly funded. Anyway, buddy, I appreciate you calling, and I'm sure we'll be talking again very soon. And Bruce's, by the way, Bruce's story on Liz and the interview with Liz Winstead is available on our First Shift Facebook page, so you can go check that out. It was really well done. So thanks very much, Bruce. Appreciate that. I got to tell you, folks, as you know, we kind of, you know, as the show kind of grows and expands, as we're looking at issues, let me talk to a minute about some of the stuff that's coming up that is going to be kind of new to you. We're going to have, although David Hecker is not new to this audience, he's committed to being with us on a monthly basis, and that starts today. And so he will be with us every month. We have, State Representative Harvey Santana, who's with us now every month. Cindy Estrada, Vice President with the UAW, will be with us on a monthly basis starting this month. And then we are going to dedicate a monthly section to the environmental issues through the Michigan Environmental Council, or the MEC. So we have that stuff coming up on top of our weekly regulars. And again, this is just another extension of our commitment to making sure that you're getting all the information on as many topics as we possibly can. And I got an email this weekend from someone that thanked me profusely for, giving you folks so much access to so many different topics. Now, I was a little worried that, it was going to be a bit overwhelming, but you all seem to really get what we're doing here, which is to empower you with facts. All right, we do have some stuff we can still give away. So if you want to give us a call, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. I'll give you the count on the other side of what we've got left in our inventory. And, hey, if you want some of it, it's yours. Let's take the break here. I'm Tony Trupiano on First Shift. We'll be back right after we do this.
The hottest Michigan news talk is on First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Let's take another question.
Hi, Flo. I saved a ton of money with Progressive's discounts.
Great, but that's not really a question.
Oh, you're right. I saved a ton of money with Progressive's discounts?
Still not quite right, but you get the idea. Progressive makes it easy to save.
Right.
Discounts for safe driving, owning a home, and more. Now that's Progressive. Call or click today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Bayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is Autumn Smith. What's going on? Give us an update.
He knew when he was taken office that as a public official, he was subject to recall. It really feels to me that Jace Bolger just feels that he's the exception to the rule. That's not true because my rights don't end because you're in office, Jace Bolger. You are still subject to recall, and you are facing recall. I mean, it's done. I've already got signatures.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the desserts. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
Hi, I'm David Ricklick, president of Investment Solutions, and I welcome you to Your Money Matters, a live and interactive radio show every Sunday morning at 8:30 on 1310 WDTW. Are you worried your financial portfolio is not well diversified? Are you concerned your assets are not properly allocated given the uncertain economic conditions? It is these and other topics that Your Money Matters with Dave and Aaron will discuss. Tune in to learn more with Your Money Matters every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m.
So Dave and I are here to help and give the latest trends and discuss the economic situation that affects you. See how our family can help your family and listen every Sunday morning at 8:30 live on 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk Station.
The information presented is designed to provide general information on the subjects covered. Please note that Investment Solutions and their representatives do not give legal or tax advice. Securities offered through Questar Capital Corporation, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment Solutions is independent of QCC.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work. With First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Absolutely. Back to work. Happy to punch in this morning. Another week. This is, by the way, week 10 of our show, and it is going by fast, is it not? We got a lot going on. We absolutely have a lot going on. So what we're going to do now is we're going to get Mark Brewer on, who's the chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. We had an issue on our end, so we couldn't connect with them earlier on. But we do have him now, so I'm going to ask those of you that are calling in, if you can call back at 8:30 when we have open lines, I'd appreciate it. But let me go to the chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, Mark Brewer. Mark, thanks for being with us this morning. I sure do miss you, buddy. It's been too long.
Yeah, morning, Tony. Glad to be with you again.
Well, I'm happy to have you here. There's a lot going on. I got to tell you, Mark, right out of the chute, I got a letter here from Governor Snyder telling us what a great job he's done in the first 6 months. We kind of did our own report card on him last Tuesday on the show. He failed, so who's getting it right, us or him?
Well, I think we've definitely got it right. The facts on our side. Tony, as a matter of fact, there's a new report out last Friday by the Citizens Research Council, which is a very well-respected, nonpartisan, longstanding organization in Michigan. And I urge all of your listeners to go to their website and get a copy of this. We really got to start talking about this. In that report, Tony, they said, at best, all of Snyder's corporate tax cuts may produce a little economic growth. And in fact, given all the tax shifts, they may negatively impact economic growth in Michigan.
Well, Mark, let's take a look at just the jobs we've lost in the education and the public sector, not to mention, you know, the police and firemen that have lost jobs. His tax budget, his budget, has actually cost the state of Michigan somewhere in the tune of 15,000 jobs.
At least. And I think there's more layoffs to come, Tony, as the impact of these revenue-sharing cuts, these public education cuts, come to full fruition. And then we've still got private companies leaving the state. There is a big solar manufacturer in Brighton that announced it was going to open its next manufacturing operation in Indiana. You may have seen American Axle closed its facility in Detroit recently. It's now down to one facility in the entire state. It has shifted all of its production, not only out of Michigan, but basically overseas. And these are the folks that are getting these tax breaks.
Well, you know, it is just dead wrong. I want to mention, you've got a video on the Michigan Democratic Party website I want you to just briefly let my audience know about.
Well, what we do is we go back to, you know, Snyder's inaugural address where he talks about a top priority is creating jobs. And then we go through all these things, Tony, the repeal of item pricing, which not only hurts consumers, but which costs jobs in our retail stores. The things you and I have just talked about here as well, solar manufacturing, leaving the state, and all these other negative economic impacts. And again, the bottom line is irrefutable. His policies have cost us jobs in the first 6 months. They haven't created any.
Yeah, and this is really problematic. You know, Mark, I was up in Lapeer this weekend, spoke at a rally there. You know, there were a lot of teachers there, and they feel, Mark, so disheartened. They just feel like they're not cared about. And maybe that doesn't matter for people. Maybe we need to take compassion out of the political system. But it's hard for me to do that. It's hard for me to do that, Mark. So I want you to address that. What do we say to these teachers that have been so disrespected.
Well, it is a terrible shame. And it's disrespect, Tony, but it's also the hypocrisy. Because on one hand, Snyder and the Republicans talk about the importance of education, you know, and everybody agrees that that's a critical thing for the future economically of this state. So with a smile, while praising the need for education, they then stab our teachers in the back, you know, who are working very hard every day to educate our kids. There's nobody who spends more time with our kids than their teachers. And we really need to value them and respect them. And what do? We attack them. We blame them for problems. And then we cut their compensation. We take away their pension. We cut their benefits. That's no way to encourage smart, good people to go into education, which is what we need in this state.
Well, you know, again, if I'm a business owner, Mark, and I'm looking to grow my business, I'm looking to move to a state that's business friendly, you know, one of the things that you taught us, I don't know, 8-10 weeks ago, is one of the things business looks at is what's their educational system like? What are they doing with K-12? What are they doing with higher ed? We're now failing on that. We're failing on that issue.
There's no question. And folks are going to be looking at that saying, can I get a good, well-educated workforce out of Michigan? Not if you're laying off teachers. Not if you're discouraging good folks from becoming teachers. Not if you're treating the existing teachers badly and hurting their morale and they're saying, gee, I should just retire, just give it up. You know, it causes problems throughout the whole system, Tony. It takes years and years and years to build a quality public education system, but it can be torn down so quickly, and that is exactly what Snyder is doing.
Absolutely. Mark, let's just switch gears here for a moment. Redistricting, that legislation passed in the House, passed in the Senate, is now sitting with the governor. And no one's happy about this. Well, I guess I shouldn't say no one. Some Republicans, but there are even Republicans that are unhappy with redistricting. So what is the future of this new map?
Well, I believe Snyder is going to sign it. I don't think there's any reason to think that he won't. And we'll just have to take it into account and overcome it next year. But you're right about Republicans. Even L. Brooks Patterson, well, probably the second most prominent Republican in the state at this point after the governor, has criticized the map because it shortchanges Oakland County, among other places, in terms of representation. But we're not going to let this gerrymandered map hold us back. We've overcome the Republican gerrymander before. We're going to have better candidates. We're going to take these issues like jobs and education to the voters next year. We're not going to let this map stand in the way.
All right. And then last but not least, we have this really funny looking, I don't know, 7, 8, 10, I don't know how many Republican candidates there are for the presidency right now. And Mark, honestly, you could put any 3 or 4 of them together and they wouldn't equal one good Democrat.
No, that's right. I mean, look, we've got all these candidates who are stumbling over themselves, flip-flopping, catering to the far right. I mean, Mitt Romney, every day, Tony, another flip-flop as he tries to cater to the far right. You know, you got Thaddeus McCotter in there now doing the same kind of thing. Michelle Bachmann, all kowtowing to the right, trying to be the most conservative, radical, extreme that they can. Meanwhile, you know, the president continues to address the problems of the country. We got some very serious problems. They're not all solved yet, but I think he's had a good start on them, and you compare that to the folks on the other side.
How important, Mark, do you think that this the debt ceiling negotiations are to the president moving forward? Because a lot of people sitting on the sidelines right now begging the president not to cave into Republicans. So how important do you think this week is to the president?
I think very important. I think it's very, very important that the president hold firm in terms of protecting Social Security and Medicare, among other things, hold firm on the need to tax the wealthy, who have gained an enormous amount of benefit over the last 20 years and have not paid their fair share. And so people are watching very, very closely, waiting for him to stand up and fight for us.
All right. Well, we're going to continue to pay attention, that's for sure. Mark, next week, usual time, 8 o'clock, and then we'll have more time to chat. And it won't sound like you and I have got a caffeine buzz like there's no tomorrow. But I do appreciate the 10 minutes you were able to give us today.
Thank you, Tony, very much.
All right. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. I want to let you know, again, if you go online, you want to go watch that video, MichiganDems.com, MichiganDems.com. It really is a powerful video. I would have played it, except it's mostly music, you know, and then there's words that kind of come in. So go watch it. That's what you got to do is just go watch it. All right, we're going to take a break here. We'll come back. David Hecker, president of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan, will be with us. I told you today was going to fly by, and it is. We'll be back right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Still seeing the delays along the Ruther westbound as you come off of 94. You're running into heavy traffic. Part of that from an earlier accident out near Van Dyke that's been trying to clear from the left side. That's added to the delays for those who see heavier traffic the closer you get toward DeQuinder into I-75. And then, of course, 75 south coming in toward 12 mile. We're seeing heavy traffic down to about 8 mile. Also, northbound 75 getting a little heavier as you're trying to come up near 9 mile and into 696.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. There is a chance of thunderstorms throughout the day and our high near 93. Tonight, possible storms, a low near 74. Tomorrow, though, partly sunny and our high 89 degrees. Last check at Metro Airport, partly cloudy and 73 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Identify yourself, please.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Cheryl Castro. Not much progress after late-night debt ceiling talks at the White House. Congressional leaders will head back for more negotiations today. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell tells Fox News Sunday any long-term deal would have to include reforms and entitlement programs.
I commend the president for putting Medicare and Social Security on the table. He is correct in doing that. You can't have a serious deficit reduction program without dealing with those programs in the long term.
Democratic Congressman Steve Israel says the big deal many were hoping for may not be possible.
There are some people who want a grand bargain. There are some people who want a baby bargain. We just want a fair bargain.
We'll get an update later this morning from President Obama. European finance ministers are in Brussels for an emergency meeting on the Greek debt crisis. CNN's Emily Rubin reports they're considering allowing a partial default.
The European Central Bank has been adamantly opposed to defaulting. However, I've been speaking to analysts in the city, and their main feeling is that European leaders really don't have much of a choice. It's a bad choice, but it's really the best of a bad lot of options.
An explosion at a naval base in Cyprus has killed at least a dozen people. Up to 40 others are injured. A grass fire apparently spread to the base, sending dozens of munitions ablaze. A day after News of the World shut down, the scandal surrounding it keeps growing. There are reports the British tabloid Steph tried to hack into the phones of 9/11 victims. Owners have apologized for alleged criminal activity that brought the paper down. A heat wave could reach dangerous levels this week in parts of the Midwest, the Plains, and the Southeast. Temperatures expected to break 105 degrees in 15 states. Forecasters say heat advisories are expected to continue at least through tomorrow. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
I'm in the, I need a three-phase cooling tower motor to stay in business. Business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
If we take good care of our customers, they'll take good care of us. Business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Didn't get any farther than the backyard sprinkler last summer? Then it's time to plan a vacation that includes America's Best Value Inn. Stay with us for an exceptional value. Free internet, continental breakfast, and HBO at most of our 900 hotels in North America. And use the money you save to do more of the things you love. Visit americasbestvalueinn.com or call 888-315-2378. With value right in our name, you know you're getting a great deal.
Americans are accustomed to finding American food and other familiar amenities while traveling overseas, but it's also beginning to work the other way. Several U.S. hotel chains, including Hilton, Sheraton, and Westin, are becoming more accommodative of Chinese tourists. They're adding Chinese items to their breakfast buffets and stocking rooms with tea kettles alongside their coffee makers. Starting today, some Hilton locales are adding Chinese television programming. Some semi-trucks are slowing down, not just to save a life, but to save money. USA Today reports some big trucking companies are mandating their drivers never exceed 65 miles an hour, so they burn less diesel fuel. Diesel runs about $4 a gallon. This could be a nasty day for Wall Street. S&P futures down 16 points, NASDAQ futures off 30. Global stocks have fallen as European Union finance leaders meet, hoping to help Italy avoid a Greece-like debt crisis, which could further destabilize the region's fragile economy. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Time now for the final round. Mike has blue eyes, Jim has brown eyes. What does Joe have?
Bronchitis?
Correct.
Yes.
If X marks the spot,
Y folds the laundry.
Correct.
Woo!
How many TV episodes does Netflix let you watch instantly for only $8 a month?
As many as you want.
Correct. Watch unlimited episodes of your favorite TV shows and movies instantly through your game console or other devices. All for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Class, this is Small Business Insurance 101. I am Professor Burke. Roll footage, please. This is Pat's Wings, home to the famous incinerator sauce. Lots can go wrong at small restaurants like Pat's. Slippery floors, fires, cutlery juggling incidents. With our coverage, when the unexpected happens, Pat barely breaks a sweat. Unlike those eating his fiery wings.
Sit down with a farmer's insurance agent to see how you can protect your small business. Find your local agent at farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-da-bum, bum, bum, bum.
Coverage not available in all areas.
I'm in the I need a three-phase cooling tower motor to stay in business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
If we take good care of our customers, they'll take good care of us, business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Didn't get any farther than the backyard sprinkler last summer? Then it's time to plan a vacation that includes America's Best Value Inn. Stay with us for an exceptional value. Free internet, continental breakfast, and HBO at most of our 900 hotels in North America. And use the money you save to do more of the things you love. Visit americasbestvalueinn.com or call 888-315-2378. With value right in our name, you know you're getting a great deal.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized.
I am not going to sit on my ass as the events that affect me unfold to determine the course of my life. I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to defend it. I'm going to defend it.
You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM. And it's time to get to work. On First Shift with Tony Tripiano.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Tony Tripiano with you on this Monday First Shift program. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. And we have an important hour in front of us. And we're going to get to our guest in just a moment. We also have an announcement from Clear Channel coming up at 8:15, which will take place of our normal break. So it's still the normal break, still the same amount of time, but you're going to want to stay tuned for that announcement as well. I do want to remind you, if you'd like to join us at any time throughout the hour when we have our guest, of course, we want you to be topic specific, 888-552-3595. We'll have open line time later on in the hour. We still have some books to give away and some documentaries to give away. And for those of you that won the tickets to the fundraiser for Planned Parenthood on Saturday, hope that you both enjoyed yourself very much. I know that my wife and I had a great time. I had promised, and I'm going to keep that promise, that we would not let the summer go without focusing on a weekly basis on what's happening within education in the state of Michigan. And beginning what will be a monthly visit with us is David Hecker. David Hecker, of course, is the president of the American Federation Teachers of Michigan. He joins us today, although I understand he's at a conference. What's going on in Michigan may be part of a bigger plan, and we'll get to all that and more. But David Hecker, I want to welcome you back to First Shift, and thanks for giving of your time this morning.
It's great to be on again, Tony. Thanks for asking.
Well, we of course the first thing that we have to do is go to the tenure bills that passed through the legislature at the very end of their session. And obviously, I want to get your reaction. I also want to talk about the reality of what that means for your membership and teachers around the state of Michigan.
Well, it was a comprehensive package of bills that are usually described as tenure bills, but they really go well beyond attacking tenure. On the immediate tenure front, the major change is that in the current tenure law, it says that you have to have a reasonable and just cause to dismiss a teacher, which makes sense. That's a common legal standard. You just can't come up with an idea and say the teacher is gone. You have to have reasonable and just cause. That's been changed to as long as the action of the school district is not arbitrary and capricious. And to someone like myself, I had to immediately get on the phone with our attorney, because, you know, those are words that in the English language mean different things to different people, but legally have a major difference of definition. And arbitrary and capricious is a much, 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 much lower standard that a school district needs to reach to fire a teacher, than what was currently in the law, reasonable and just cause. So it is a great deal easier without having the burden of proving your case, which everyone should have to prove if you're going to dismiss an employee. It's sort of the American way. It's a much lower standard, which means teachers are going to be dismissed for a whole bunch of reasons that are not merited.
Now, David Hecker, I was at a rally in Lapeer on Saturday. There were a lot of teachers there, and one of them was telling a story about advocating for on behalf of a student. And the principal didn't like the position that she was taking, but she knew because of tenure that she was protected, and she was protecting a student, and she was advising these parents as to their rights and to the realities of what those rights meant. And the principal became unglued, and although she was reprimanded, her job was protected. But, David, she's only been a teacher 3 or 4 years. Under these new, quote-unquote, tenure laws, he could dismiss her for that, could he not?
Well, a teacher, even now, 3 years 1 through 4, are probationary, so there's very little you could do to defend a probationary teacher. But once that teacher has passed year 4 and is deemed to be a good teacher, that teacher gets tenure. And now, under the new standard of tenure, there is a good chance that that principal will be able to get rid of that teacher. I mean, there are clearly things in federal law that can't be violated. You can't fire someone based on race, gender, age, but almost anything else, if you're a school district that wants to get rid of a teacher, you're going to have a pretty good shot at doing that.
You know, somebody had posted to our Facebook page, it's kind of hard to be a teacher today when you know that the legislature doesn't value education. How would you respond to that, David Hecker?
Well, no, that's absolutely true, and that's what we tell legislators, for the majority of them in Lansing, that telling them is sort of a waste of time because they don't really care, the majority. This is nothing to do about improving education. First of all, undercutting tenure, undercutting teacher rights, making it weakening the reasons a district needs to have to get rid of a teacher, that it has nothing to do with being a bad teacher. It's just some reason they come up with. That in no way supports and helps education. And anyone who says it does knows they're lying, knows that you're doing this for political reasons and has nothing to do with the education of our kids.
All right, well,
why would, you know, if you're thinking about going into education and you see how the profession is attacked night and day, you see how your rights are taken away from you, you're going to give pause. You're going to say, is there another profession I want to go into?
No, but David Hecker, when you think about just the idea, let alone it being law, that there are now issues that you can't even discuss in the collective bargaining process. I mean, your voice is taken away from you. As a union, I mean, we have very little recourse except to fight back, I would think.
Well, we always have the recourse, and we always have not just the recourse, Tony, but the responsibility to fight back. You know, I mentioned, and where you're going, Tony, is that this package of bills is called tenure. But it goes well, well beyond tenure. There's one of the bills in the package that became law, eliminates a number of subjects as subjects for collective bargaining, including evaluation process. And the evaluation process is the whole key. And I've said on this show before, we want comprehensive evaluation procedures so that we can identify the teachers that need help. We can help those teachers. And if those teachers don't get better, well, then those teachers shouldn't be teaching. But without a comprehensive evaluation process, and when it comes to the bargaining table, it is the union, much more often than not, that has been pushing for comprehensive evaluation systems. As you know, Tony, our union developed our own comprehensive evaluation system because it was lacking throughout the state, and now our locals are working with districts to try to make that process reality. But now we can collectively bargain an evaluation.
All right, David, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought. We do need to take a quick break here. David Hecker, again, my guest with the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan. He is at their National Executive Council this week, and we're going to talk about what's happening nationally, amongst other things, when we continue. I'm Tony Truppiano. Thanks for joining us on First Shift. We'll take the break and be back right after this.
Hey guys, it is Ryan Seacrest here, and this is the announcement you have been waiting for. The biggest live music event in radio history.
iHeartRadio.
The iHeartRadio Music Festival.
Alrighty, y'all ready?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Music fans representing over 100 million listeners from cities across the country will converge on Las Vegas for the first of its kind music event. The greatest gathering of radio listeners ever for a historic music event. It's September 23rd and 24th, the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, streamed live on iHeartRadio.com and on the iHeartRadio app for your phone and your iPad. Witness some of the most iconic and legendary artists on the planet.
You're right!
Across all genres of music.
Woo!
One stage.
Where are you at?
Two nights.
They've changed music.
To celebrate the launch of the new iHeartRadio, available this fall. The new version is everything you want in one place. Real radio stations from cities across the country. And coming soon, custom radio like Pandora, but with more songs, more control, and no commercials through the end of the year. You ready for this lineup?
Hello, my little monsters.
Lady Gaga. Coldplay. Steven Tyler. The Black Eyed Peas. Kenny Chesney.
You and tequila make me crazy.
Jennifer Lopez.
I'm into you. I'm into you. I'm into you.
Alicia Keys. Minaj. John Mayer. David Guetta. Rascal Flatts. Bruno Mars. Kelly Clarkson. Sublime with Wrong. With
special guest performances by Usher and Sting. And more performers and guests to be announced all summer long. The iHeartRadio Music Festival is going to be epic. And because you're on an iHeartRadio station right now, you can find out how to get your hands on tickets before anyone else by liking iHeartRadio on Facebook. Do it right now. Tickets go on sale to the rest of the world Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific through Ticketmaster. You won't want to miss this, the greatest gathering for a live radio music event ever. The iHeartRadio Music Festival, September 23rd and 24th in Vegas, brought to you by Clear Channel. Hit up this station's website or iHeartRadio.com for more information. And check out my friend Jennifer Lopez on the Today Show to hear even more. I'll see you there.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes some slow going along M14 westbound. Part of that from an earlier accident near Godfredson. We've had slow traffic back toward Beck. So as you're coming off of 96, 275, trying to go west on 14, you may be running into some of those delays. Also, 696 has been slow from 94 out to Hoover, where we had an earlier accident that's been gone for quite some time.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service is going to be very hot today, a high near 93 and a chance of thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, look for possible storms and a low near 74. Tomorrow, though, sunny skies and a high of 89. Right now, Metro Airport, it's mostly cloudy and last check, 76 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour, my guest, David Hecker, president of the American Federation of Teachers Michigan. And, you know, David, this weekend somebody had sent me a link to a video that I watched, and there was a gentleman named Jodah Edelman, who in this video talks about literally dismantling the Illinois Public School Teachers Collective Bargaining Agreement and totally changing the face of teachers unions in the state of Illinois. I was stunned and disgusted by what this video portends. It was really, really difficult to watch. What is happening nationally, David?
Well, what we're facing in Michigan is going on in almost every other state. I'm at a national conference here, and some of the AFT national staff put up on a PowerPoint map the United States and then said, you know, attacks on tenure and, you know, highlighted those states, attacks on collective bargaining, those states, attacks on public education funding, those states. And you see that it is clearly not a Michigan thing, not just an Illinois thing. This is a national attack on public education, which means the men and women who educate our children and our children.
Well, you know, this is troublesome. It's problematic. It's a lot of things. But, I often say on this show those three words, follow the money. If we follow the money with regard to this, where's the connection here between money and why they're doing this, David Hecker?
There is no great surprise, Tony, a direct connection. You know, everyone knows the name of the Koch brothers and came up in the whole Wisconsin attack on education and organized labor and how close they are to Governor Walker in Wisconsin. And most of the news is the Koch brothers in Wisconsin. Well, the Koch brothers also fund the Mackinac Center in Michigan, which is a right-wing conservative anti-public education think tank. And it's not just in Michigan. They fund these kind of efforts elsewhere. You know, if you take a look at the attacks on civil rights, attacks on affirmative action, if you take a look at the attacks on organized labor, if you take a look at the attacks on public education, and you say, okay, let's chart out who the rich people are who fund these efforts to get rid of affirmative action, to undercut public debt, to undercut organized labor, you will see a tremendous overlap. It's the same people, extremely wealthy, needless to say, who fund these efforts. And then you say, well, why are they funding all these efforts? And they're funding all these efforts Because, you know, if you ask me at least, you know, what three institutions in the history of this country to this day do most to empower working people and their families, I would say it's public education, the labor movement, and the civil rights movement. And so if you're on the far right and you wipe out those three institutions that have done all this incredible work to bring some fairness and equality into society, well, if you wipe that out, you're going to win all the time. There'll be no, you know, you said before the responsibility is to fight back. There'll be nobody left to fight back. You know, these fights are not about tenure, as important as it is to wage that fight and not undercut tenure. And, you know, we fight tooth and nail for that. But it's not just about tenure. It's not just about going after collective bargaining for teachers and school employees. The real strategy from the people on the right who do this is if you undercut tenure, you undercut collective bargaining for public school employees, you're indicating to teachers and school employees, well, do you really need a union? What can a union do for you, right? And so you're undercutting the union. You're undercutting the strength of the union. And in our labor movement today, it is the public sector labor movement that is really the lead. I mean, they've attacked the private sector labor movement so much in years prior that it's 7% organized. It's really the public sector which has a much, much higher density rate. There wouldn't be any public sector labor movement without the private sector labor movement, but now things have sort of turned. So now, if you get rid of the public sector labor movement by undercutting their unions, be it us, the EA, AFSCME, SEIU, et cetera, and you're the Koch brothers, you've won forever on everything.
Well, you know, I have to, I guess, you know, this goes back to me to the fundamental argument. We keep on being told this is about reforming education. I don't know how it reforms education if it forces some of our best teachers to leave the profession, as some are considering doing. Again, I told you I was in Lapeer on Saturday. I had teachers that have been teaching for years saying, you know, I'm going to retire 3 years early. I just can't take this anymore. Now, David, how does this improve education? I thought this was supposed to be about the kids.
That's you know the answer to your own question, Tony. Again, it doesn't, and it has nothing to do with anyone who says this is about improving education is lying. It is not about improving education. We know what we need to do to improve education. The things the legislature is doing is not what we need to do to improve public education. This is about undercutting public sector labor, because public sector labor is now in many, many places the strength of our labor movement. And again, you wipe out the labor movement, you wipe out the civil rights movement, you wipe out public education, and the right wins forever. I mean, the labor movement is under attack because we're the ones who help lead the way to fight against the right. Not the only ones by any means. A whole broad group of great people and organizations are fighting, but we're really one of the biggest organizations fighting the right. And they get rid of us, the obstacles before them and what they want to do are going to be gone.
Well, you know, it seems to me, especially as I've, you know, been fortunate enough, and email is a wonderful thing. I hear from parents, I hear from teachers, and, you know, I'm basically hearing the same story, that if they would just turn to us, we have the answers. If they really want reform, turn to us and we'll give you the answer. But they don't really want reform, David. What they want is to control the process. Listen, I'm all for, you know, new blood. We always need new teachers because you've got to replace those that have done their duty and that have taught and, you know, have earned their retirement. At the same time, if all we're doing is, and again, this goes back to that old slogan, the race for the bottom, to me, this just speeds up that race to the bottom. It says that we no longer value education as a profession and we no longer value it as a tool. David, that's depressing.
It's awfully depressing. And the people with money, their kids will always get a good education because they'll be able to buy that education privately. So their families aren't personally hurt. it's everybody else who is hurt, which means society is hurt, but that's not really their concern either, as long as they have theirs. You know, a leader in the state who is arguing for the elimination of the right to lay off by seniority, and we've lost that right in the legislation, I said, listen, you know, you've already admitted that we do not have comprehensive teacher evaluation systems in place. So how could you eliminate seniority, the most objective way to lay people off, without a comprehensive evaluation system? Because without a comprehensive evaluation system, you can't possibly argue that you're laying people off based on who's not a good teacher, because you don't know who's not a good teacher without a comprehensive evaluation system. And the response was, well, you know, if we waited for comprehensive evaluation systems, we'd never be able to get anything done. And, you know, my response was, if you'd listen to parents, we know what a comprehensive evaluation system is. We designed our own. Let's put them in place. But to eliminate an objective way to lay people off when you know there is no objective evaluation system in place, clearly, it has nothing to do with saying, oh, I want to get rid of the quote-unquote bad teachers.
Well, you know, again, and as you continue to spend your summer quote-unquote vacation, you know, smack dab in the middle of this fire, David, I just know that at home I want to continue to remind people their legislatures, the legislators are doing their town hall meetings and their coffee hours. They need to show up. They need to question them. They need to put their feet to the fire. They need to know that they will be held accountable to what's going on right now. And that is the one thing, David Hecker, we can do during this summer hiatus.
Well, it isn't just the one thing we can do. It's our responsibility. I mean, this is a democracy, and sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And we lost real bad last time. But, you know, the reason we lost real bad last time was not that a bunch of people who usually vote for candidates in support of working people, in support of public education, switched and voted on the other side. They just didn't come out to vote. That's what the numbers indicate as to why we lost. And that's really irresponsible. It's our responsibility to do exactly what you just said.
Absolutely. David, we're out of time for today. We'll look forward to visiting with you again next month, if not sooner.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks again.
As always, David Hecker, the president of the American Federation of Teachers, Michigan. If you want to give us a call, we're open lines for the balance of the show, 888-552-3595. We'll be right back. I'm Tony Trupiano. Stay with us.
Team 10 WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes delays on 75 southbound coming in 14 mile road to the Reuther. Part of that because of an earlier accident, 75 south near 7 mile. That's still trying to clear from the left side. It's been pretty slow also on the Reuther west trying to get to 75. M59 backed up trying to get from Rochester Road out towards 75 because our construction from Crooks to Updike leaving only two lanes open.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. It's going to be very hot today, a high near 93 and a chance of thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, look for possible storms and a low near 74. Tomorrow, though, sunny skies and a high of 89. Right now, Metro Airport, it's mostly cloudy and last check, 76 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Mike Rowe here talking with Jim Twitchell, a real live Ford service technician, about the importance of scheduled maintenance. But really, Jim, everybody knows it's important, right?
Scheduled maintenance is important. That's what keeps your car running at optimum performance.
Get an oil change and much more with the Works Fuel Saver Package. $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
So you're kind of like a car doctor.
Definitely a car doctor.
Are you soothing? Do you have a good car side manner?
Most cars tell me so.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 8/31/11.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. The world's largest copper producer is facing a 24-hour strike today. The Chilean workers at Codelco walked off the job in opposition to a plan that would see the state-owned mining company privatized. Some of the changes that are set for the company include cutting the jobs of 2,600 workers. The strike is occurring on the 40th anniversary of Chile passing laws that saw the nationalization of mines. Bus drivers in Washington, D.C. have suffered a wave of assaults in recent weeks, which have revealed underlying workplace safety issues in the transit system. In response to three violent incidents in late June, the union that represents most of Metro's 11,000 employees is demanding the Transit Authority take steps to protect bus drivers. In a new campaign, the Amalgamated Transit Union Local 689 is trying to get the general public on their side. Alice Olstein reports.
Friendship Heights Station.
Local 689 launched Operation Safety First after three D.C. bus drivers were recently attacked by passengers, and two had to be taken to local hospitals. Now, buses across the city are filled with thousands of postcards that passengers can sign and mail to the Transit Authority's general manager, demanding safer conditions on buses. Anthony Garland, the safety officer for Local 689, says the union has been pushing for years to have better protections for its bus drivers, from reliable working safety cameras to better trainings on how to de-escalate a conflict with a passenger.
In 2004, we had already gone to the authority and asked them to put more surveillance cameras on the buses, to put more transit cops out there on the buses. And it's been 7 years, and it's just everything's gone on deaf ears, and we just felt WMATA just had a disregard for the safety of the employees.
Just last week, WMATA started looking into installing the optional plexiglass shields the union requested for bus drivers and have stepped up transit police presence on the more dangerous routes.
We have heard loud and clear from our employees, who also happen to be union members, that there are concerns around safety as they're operating buses.
That's Dan Stessel, the chief spokesperson for WMATA. He says despite the union's doubts, the Transit Authority is firmly committed to workplace safety.
These are things that we hope will become constructive, ongoing efforts in the interest of ensuring that our bus operators are able to do their job safely.
Garland, a D.C. bus driver himself for over 20 years, is cautiously optimistic about the promised improvements. He added that Operation Safety First is also about building a strong coalition with the public, since bus driver safety and bus rider safety are one and the same. For Workers Independent News, I'm Alice Olstein.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 8:35 on this Monday program. You know, listen, I'm not trying to bring everybody down. You need to know what's going on. And we're going to come back, keep coming back to this issue of what's happening to education. This is not reform. This is dismantling. And so let's be clear on that. This is about dismantling collective bargaining. It's about dismantling unions. You know, the teachers' unions across this great divide of ours is massive. Collectively, they're massive. And, yeah, there are wealthy people that truly want to see them go away. And we need to fight that with everything we have. Again, if you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. I'm going to go to the phones now. I want to welcome Tom in Detroit to First Shift. Tom, thanks for punching in with us this morning. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good morning, Tony. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. I'm well.
I just wanted to talk about the debt ceiling. You know, and where I'm going to go is this. I remember back when former President Bush was in office, and I don't remember hearing the word debt ceiling used, okay? And, you know, all of a sudden there's this rush to now want to, how can we say, stop the debt ceiling, to use that term. And, but, you know, when you think about it, President Clinton left this country, when he left office, he left the country with the largest budget surplus ever in the history of this country. And, you know, I've never heard the exact dollar figure in terms of how much the surplus was, but I do know this, that former President George Bush, he squandered that surplus.
It was just so you know, it was over $400 billion.
Okay, so you know, he killed that, and then he dug us further into a hole. And you know, they act like this, deficit that we've got now has been created by President Obama, which is the furthest thing from the truth. he inherited this. I mean, though, you know, and I understand where he's coming from. He doesn't sit there and throw rocks back at former President Bush saying, well, you know, this thing was already there. You know, he says, okay, I'm at the desk where the buck stops, and he wants, you know, he's accepted responsibility for it, and you know, that kind of thing. And, but, you know, I, you know, like I said, never heard that term, debt ceiling, used when the former president was in there. And, you know, and even talking about trying to eliminate the deficit, it seemed to me like, you know, the Republicans, they just went crazy. They
well,
just went nuts.
It's Tom, very, very briefly, they did use, I mean, you know, again, because I, you know, I was doing talk radio during those years.
Okay.
They did use the debt ceiling. The problem that we ran into was because we were funding at 1.2 wars and then one war and then back to two wars,
mm-hmm.
there was no debate to be had. Now,
okay.
It's interesting because we're still fighting two wars, actually three if you count Libya, and yet
yeah.
all of a sudden, because it's not, what, a popular war, or it didn't happen in the right time, it didn't happen under the right president, all
yeah.
of a sudden the debt ceiling is a bad thing, but under Bush it's not a bad thing. So we're just not applying the same criteria from president to president is all that's happening, Tom.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know, that's what's happening. Anyway, thank you for your call, as always. I mean, Tom's
okay.
just a very common sense, reasonable guy. He gets it. He, you know, presents it the way it needs to be presented. 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Bo in Detroit to the show. Bo, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind today?
How you doing?
Good, Bo.
Oh, good. I always like your show. You always have a lot of good information. I agree with practically everything that you say. And Harvey Santana is my representative, and he's a fantastic person.
You're a lucky guy, Bo. Yeah, Harvey's a great guy.
Right. But I called about Planned Parenthood, and I don't know who it was that you were that was making those comments about being racist and wherever you were, that Planned Parenthood was racist. And I don't know if they actually know what they're talking about, but there were some stories in the black community circulating that Margaret Mead, the person who originally started Planned Parenthood, had some attachments to the eugenics movement. And I think that is the reason why some black folks have some concerns about Planned Parenthood. But I'm not sure what this person that you were talking about, why he was saying that it was racist, other than the fact that he thought maybe that they encouraged abortion.
No, they don't. A, they don't encourage abortions. But, Bo, the reason he was saying is that he's saying that percentage-wise, more black women use Planned Parenthood for abortion services than white women, and therefore they are, you know, actually committing genocide. Bo, I'm not exaggerating. He actually used the word genocide.
Yeah, I think they said something about that in New York, where there's some kind of sign up somewhere in New York saying that abortions is genocide in the black community or something I heard on Al Sharpton's show recently about that, and that was trying to get the black community on the side of the anti-abortion people. That was the reason why they were using it.
Right.
But, you know, but my, you know, but generally, and I don't know, you know, I can't speak for every black person, but I think most black people like the fact that they have a choice, you know.
Well, you know, let's be honest about it. The majority of women that use Planned Parenthood use it for reproductive health care. All right, so they're using it as health care. That's another way of saying, you know, it replaces the doctor that they can't afford. They can't even afford to go to the clinics. So what they do is they go to these Planned Parenthood clinics where doctors are making sure that women are given, you know, pap smears and checkups and breast exams. You know, 97% of Planned Parenthood services take care of women's health, not abortions. But
well, I know it's a good thing. I mean, I don't have any problems.
No, I know you don't. I just want the audience to understand what Planned Parenthood does. So, Bo, I appreciate the call.
I just wanted to let them know what Margaret Mead had thought.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Again, if you care to join us, folks, 888-552-3595. Let's go to Joe. Joe wants to talk to us on First Shift. So, Joe, welcome aboard. Thanks for punching in. What's on your mind?
Maybe I'm on the wrong topic. I thought you were kind of talking about debt ceiling.
It's open lines, Joe. So
open line, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm waiting still for the Democrats to remind people, the public that is, that when George Bush took office in 2000, that he inherited, what, $3-4 trillion in surpluses?
Well, about $400 billion in surpluses.
Oh, $400 billion. Well, not bad, huh?
Not bad at all.
And I remember the debt clock being turned off. Remember when they had a big ceremony on Wall Street? They shut the clock down?
I do remember. I remember, Joe, the debate of what we were going to do with our surplus. I clearly remember that.
That there was a big ceremony. They said this is the first time the country's books have even been halfway balanced in the last 100 years.
Oh, and by the way, Joe, let me point out very quickly, the reason that our books got balanced is because we had a president that understood that if you raise taxes responsibly, and by the way, we created a massive amount of jobs during that time, which, by the way, created revenue, Joe. Well, gee, this is a pretty radical way to do things, don't you think?
Well, you know, I've called you enough for you to know that I keep saying go back to basics. How did we get from there to here? You see, you can't just ignore that. But the Republicans want to ignore that. They want to just forget, you know, that the recession under Eisenhower, the huge recession under Reagan, they want to deify him. But I just wish that sometime somebody would bring the stats out and say, okay, this is what it was like when he took office. Oh, and by the way, I told anybody who would listen in 2000 that if Bush gets into office, if the Republicans get in, that money will be gone in less than a year into tax cuts. Ha, ha, ha. So what happened? And then into a war that we shouldn't have been in or be in that sucked up, what, $4 or $5 billion a month? I mean, why don't the Democrats just remind them that we're here because of you, and you want to take us right back to that? It frustrates me.
Oh, Joe, I understand. We certainly see eye to eye on that issue. Again, thanks, Joe. Thanks for your call. I always appreciate when you call the show. I truly do. You know, there's no question, folks, that the Democrats, again, going back to messaging, they're not great on message. But, you know, I don't think, Joe, it's as simple as just reminding people. They need to demonstrate it. They need to draw pictures and graphs and you know, there was this wonderful woman named Felicia that was with us on the pier on Saturday. And she had this wonderful chart that she had seen on the Ed Show, on Ed Schultz's show on MSNBC. And it showed, you know, the top 400 and how much they made, and that red line went up, they called them the redliners, went up, 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 up from Reagan on, right? And then there were the rest of us that were all the way down at the bottom, blip, 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 blip. You know, we need to draw pictures. Because, again, as we continue to devalue education and people aren't getting as good of an education as they once did, you know, I don't think they know how to read a graph anymore. And I'm not being a smartass. I think that there are a lot of people that don't know how to read a graph anymore. And so, you know, it's not just about reminding people. That's certainly a big part of it. There's no question that's true. But we need to draw them pictures. And we need to make sure that people can visually see what's going on. You know, again, this is about you voting against your own self-interest. Keep it selfish if that's what it's going to take for you. But I met people on Saturday afternoon that were Republicans and no longer are Republicans, because they now see what their real agenda is, and it's to take your money and keep it. They're not going to spend it. There is no trickle down. There's piddle on. We're all being piddled on. But there's no trickle down, I assure you. All right, Mark, stay right where you're at. We're going to come to you after the break because we've got to take the break right now. What are you giving me that 30? What was the attitude, Radford?
No, it's laughing. That's the perfect thing. Piddle down is the funniest thing I've heard all day.
All right. Well, piddled on, actually. Not piddled down, piddled on. Whew. Anyway, that smell. What is that smell? We'll take the break. We'll be back.
First Chip with Tony Trivium. Over the last decade, we have spent $1 trillion on war at a time of rising debt and hard economic times. Now, we must invest in America's greatest resource, our people.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you. Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
Micro here talking with Jim Twitchell, a real live Ford service technician, about the importance of scheduled maintenance. But really, Jim, everybody knows it's important, right?
Scheduled maintenance is important. That's what keeps your car running at optimum performance.
Get an oil change and much more with the Works Fuel Saver Package. $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
So you're kind of like a car doctor.
Definitely a car doctor.
Are you soothing? Do you have a good car side manner?
Most cars tell me so.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 8/31/11.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. I am Tony Trupiano. Our good friend, Dr. Jennifer Martin, sends a correction. Margaret Sanger, not Margaret Mead. Sanger had ties to eugenics, yes, but no more. So thank you, Dr. Jen. Hope you're well. Miss you. And you're another one I know that's not taking the summer off either. We need to have you back sometime soon. All right, we're going to go back to the phones again. If you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. We're in a jobless recovery. Record corporate profits, and yet you and I are struggling to make ends meet, and it only gets worse. Let's welcome Mark in Detroit to First Shift. Mark, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind, sir?
Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
It's amazing to me how many of your listeners seem to forget that when President Obama was a senator, he voted against raising the debt ceiling and cited the lack of presidential leadership on President Bush's part. Now that we have more and more government spending and the deficit is even larger, he's advocating raising the debt ceiling. So maybe you can explain it to me.
Well, you know what? That's an interesting thing, Mark, and you're right. I'd forgotten that. And you're 100% right. What's interesting is this quote-unquote negotiation that's going on that's really not a negotiation. It's a posturing on both sides. Listen, I'm not happy with the president right now, Mark. And what he's saying is, if we will eliminate the Bush tax cuts, I can eliminate $4 trillion in debt, and a lot of that comes at the expense of entitlement programs. Now,
I keep hearing about the Bush tax cuts. That was a 4% cut in the top marginal rate.
15%, the top 15% of earners.
Okay, so let's look at it this way. If you tax the entire income but every millionaire and billionaire in the country next year, it wouldn't even make a dent in the deficit.
That's a Republican talk. That's a Republican talking point, number
not
one.
Not a talking point. All you have to do is...
Mark, it's a Republican talking point. I read it on every freaking Republican blog that I read.
Okay, so if you did that, how much would it reduce the deficit, since it's a talking point?
Well, listen, it would reduce the deficit over the course of 10 years, which is what we're talking about.
No, next year. I just said next year.
You know what? And we're not talking about doing this year to year. All right, Mark, never mind. We're done with Mark. See, here we go again. You can't define how I do my damn show. Now, what's wrong with you people? Why can't we think long-term? Why do I have to play the game your way, Mark? The top 15% of the earners in this country are screwing the rest of us. What don't you get about that, Mark? Sweet God, you are not. You know what? You're not naive. You knew exactly what you're doing, and shame on me for trying to be nice to you. That's all I have to say. Jim in Farmington Hills joins us. Jim, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind today?
Oh, well, your last caller, I missed a little bit of it because I was calling. what he said about Obama voting against debt ceiling being increased, that was and he said at the time that he knew this was it didn't have any effect, but he was objecting because at that point we had over a $500 billion deficit that year, and the economy was, at least theoretically, booming. The economy was growing. GDP was up. So the point was that when you have a $500 billion deficit, when the economy is booming, when the economy drops, the deficit will triple. That's what happened under Bush 1 when Reagan left office and all the deficits he blew out. That's what the same thing happens. And the Republicans, when they're in power, they believe what Dick Cheney said, that Reagan proved deficits don't matter. But as soon as they lose power, deficits are the focus, because then they can attack entitlements. They can attack the programs that help people. So this is all in the plan, just like with teachers. They're doing this to teachers because they want to eliminate public schools. Their belief is if somebody isn't getting insanely wealthy off you, then the system doesn't work. Then that's communism. And this is something that, you know, this is the John Birch Society of the 50s. And this is what has controlled the Republican Party now. And I think most people are turning against that, even Republicans.
Yeah, there it is. You know what? You are, Jim, 100% correct. Republicans are beginning. And again, I'm going to tell you, I'm in Lapeer, which is pretty much Republican country, on Saturday. The people that are talking at this rally are Republicans apologizing for buying into it. These are everyday people. Because, Jim, they get that they were sold a bill of goods. We can turn this thing around, Jim. We just need to be responsible about it, and we need to go out and vote.
That's right.
Absolutely,
you know,
Jim.
Like Truman said, you give them the truth, and they just think it's all.
No, you're
take
right.
Care, man.
Absolutely, Jim. Thanks so much. We're going to take one more call. Let's go to Norm. Norm, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind this morning, Norm?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. You said it. You took the wind out of my sails when you said it about being sold a bill of goods and us having to vote. This is the result of us not voting back in November. It kills me, and then it kills me from the caller from the previous one you had, how he's trying to put all this stuff on Barack. Man, stop doing that. Stop falling into that garbage. Look at what's going on. They want to destroy public education. They want to destroy unions. They want to destroy everything that this country fought for, that free people fought for. And he wants to take on the size of the Republic. Stop doing that. Look at what they're doing.
Well, you know, Norm, you're right. And here's what Mark was trying to do, Norm. And it's this simple. What Mark was trying to do was to say, hey, if we let these tax breaks go away, you know, how much money will we really be able to save? We would save billions of dollars. Now, would it eliminate the debt? Norm, of course it's not going to eliminate the debt. But I would rather eliminate some of it than none of it. You know, we can change the conversation if we've actually got revenue coming in. You need revenue in to reduce your debt. I mean, this isn't rocket science.
And what happens if we let the economy crash? If we don't pay the mortgage on the country? What happens? And who are we going to blame for that? Who do we blame for that? I hold the Republicans responsible for that because that's what they want to do.
Well, you know what, Norm? You're one of the smarter guys that's ever called this show, so thank you so much. Norm's pissed off. I'm pissed off, too. You know, folks, again, Norm just said it perfectly. In fact, you know, Jeff, if we can try to make a promo on what Norm just said about it, this is from not voting. If we can grab that and do something with that, because David Hecker said it during his segment too. Why do you think I started this show, folks, day one with that register to vote ad that we run nonstop? Because I knew it was about us not voting. Again, this isn't rocket science. It involves you getting off your asses and doing something. I'm not going to let people like Mark do what Mark does, which is try to... Listen, if we... For every penny we bring in to the Treasury, that's one less penny that goes out. This talking point that if we tax them 100% of their income, if we taxed the top 15% of earners in this country at 100%, which is something we would never do, Republicans might, Democrats never would, it would significantly reduce our debt load. Absolutely. Prove me wrong on that one. I'll buy you a house. That's it for us today. For Todd and Jeff, I want to thank them. Great job today, all my guests and you. I'm Tony Trupiano. Be well.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes delays on 75 heading southbound. You're trying to get 14 Mile Road down to 696. Well, part of that extra delay is because of an earlier accident near 7 Mile trying to clear from the left side. That's just really slowed down the ride in toward downtown. Northbound 75 also slow coming into 696. Looks like things are slow on the Reuther in pockets from 94 all the way out to 75. Just the domino effect. It's been slow all morning.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service is going to be very hot today, a high near 93 and a chance of thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, look for possible storms and a low near 74. Tomorrow, though, sunny skies and a high of 89. Right now, Metro Airport, it's mostly cloudy and last check, 76 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First.